Bay Area. So thank you all. Have a great day. And please stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes.
They've managed to take skin cells and turn them into the type of stem cells that are so powerful they can be turned then into any of the more than 200 cells in the body.
Scientists are saying medical breakthroughs don't come much bigger or better than that. CBS's Dr. John LaPook.
The most exciting thing about this technique is that tomorrow we can take the skin cells from somebody with Alzheimer's, for example, turn them into stem cells, and then tease them up and coax them into becoming nerve cells. Then we can study those nerve cells and see what goes wrong in the nerve cells of somebody with Alzheimer's.
We may be able to grow heart tissue, lung tissue, any tissue from these cells, and no need to destroy an embryo to get them either. And that makes the Conference of Catholic Bishops happy. Richard Dorflinger.
If this research is what it seems to be, it offers one major way to advance science in a way that we can all accept and praise.
Fat people have so many complications in their lives, and here's another. Heavy men could have prostate cancer and not even show it, much less know it.
Obese people produce a lot more blood. Now researcher Stephen Friedland finds all that excess blood can dilute PSA, the protein measured in a common test for prostate cancer.
Because of the dilution, we're not detecting it as early as we would have.
Dr. Alan Parton, co-author of this study in the Journal of the American Medical Association, he says the PSA threshold for ordering biopsies should be lower for obese men. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The U.S. Supreme Court's agreed to consider the law in Washington, D.C. that outlawed the private right to own a handgun, since knocked down by the lower courts. Brace for the arguments. Paul Helmke at the Brady Campaign.
The first 13 words of the Second Amendment that the appellate court seemed to ignore make it pretty clear that they're talking about a well-regulated militia.
Tracy Ambo is the plaintiff in the case who has won so far on this Second Amendment argument.
We would like to have a functional handgun in our homes to use for self-defense if it's needed.
Mormon rebel polygamist leader Warren Jeffs is going to jail.
As the judge announced his sentence, Warren Jeffs sat quietly at the defense table, no visible signs of emotion. The judge ordered Jeffs to serve two consecutive sentences of 5 years to life in prison. Now, under Utah law, it will be up to the State Board of Parole to determine exactly how much time Jeff serves.
CBS's Steve Futterman in St. George, Utah. Oil prices, enough to make you cry.
At more than $98 a barrel, it's a record high.
Prices rose dramatically as we saw a slew of bad economic news.
And that means higher gas prices will follow. Peter Butel of Cameron Hanover doesn't think it will happen immediately, but if you're on a tight budget.
If there's any way people can fill up tonight or today, I think that would probably be a better idea than waiting to see what the price might be, because it is going to go higher. It's just a matter of when.
Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Wall Street, the Dow, up 51 points. NASDAQ gained 3.5. This is CBS News.
Well, I was shopping for a new car. Which one's me? A cool convertible or an SUV? Too bad I didn't know my credit was whack, because now I'm driving off the lot in a used subcompact FREE. That spells free. CreditReport.com, baby. Saw their ads on my TV. Thought about going, but was too lazy. Now instead of looking fly and rolling fat, my legs are sticking to the vinyl and my posse's getting laughed at. FREE. That spells free. CreditReport.com, baby.
Offer applies with enrollment and triple advantage.
Say you're driving to a business meeting without a TomTom GPS, and you want to avoid traffic. You could drive with your ear glued to the speaker, waiting anxiously for the traffic report that seems impossibly choreographed to come at the precise moment it's already too late, while hoping and praying that the world's worst traffic doesn't suddenly jump out to greet you at each and every turn. Or you could use a TomTom. With real-time traffic updates, all you have to do is drive while your TomTom GPS device takes you there the fastest way possible. TomTom. Go confidently.
The Food and Drug Administration is warning those who are trying to stop smoking with the Pfizer drug called Chantix to be careful. People who take it sometimes get bummed out, even suicidal.
We don't know whether this is due to the drug. We only know it's in, seems to be in some proximity to both use of the drug and quitting smoking.
Dr. Bob Rappaport at the FDA says it is too early to pin these behavioral changes on the drug, but pay attention to your mood swings if you have any while taking Chantix, and of course check with your doctor. This is what you might think of as a holiday celebration warning. Binge drinking is bad. You wind up with a nasty hangover, of course, and just maybe a bladder that pops like a bulging balloon. The Guardian newspaper in the UK says it's not just men, but women too these days, who have wound up in hospitals with such a catastrophe. As many as 5% of men die of blood poisoning from their own toxic insides if their bladder bursts. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Next time your grandkids ask if frogs have noses, what will you be thinking about? Hopefully not your Medicare plan. Review your plan and options during Medicare's open enrollment, November 15th to December 31st. Once you know you have the right plan, you can get on with the important things in life, like discussing amphibian facial features. For open enrollment details, consult your Medicare and You handbook. Call 1-800-MEDICARE or visit Medicare.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hey, it's Ty Pennington. You know, I love to grant wishes. The bigger, the better. And the biggest thing I know of this holiday is Sears Wishing Hours. This Monday and Tuesday from 4 p.m. to close, the Panasonic Lumix 7.2 megapixel digital camera is on sale for just $99.99. And go online to sears.com/wishes for next week's exclusive offers just for you. Sears Wishing Hours, Mondays and Tuesdays. Don't just give a gift, grant a wish.
Exclusions apply. See store for details. Prices may vary in Puerto Rico, Alaska, and Hawaii. Offer valid 11/19/07 through 11/20/07.
From the heart of America, the nation's number one progressive voice, where truth and common sense rule. This is the Ed Schultz Show, where America comes to talk. And now, Ed Schultz.
Mainstream Americans, just remember we have the facts on our side. And don't ever, ever, ever think an open microphone doesn't play a major part in getting to the bottom of all of it. Good to have you with us here on the Ed Schultz Show, 1-877. We got Ed. Oh, we're being inundated. It's Rotten Rudy in the big city, Fargo, North Dakota. He's coming here to shake down a few folks and get out of town. It's a closed meeting, by the way. He'll do the wave thing and shake a few hands going through a line, but Rotten Rudy in town.
Researcher, pollster kind of guy. He's published a new book called Unchristian, and he reports that young adults see Christians as anti-gay, as hypocritical, and as too political. And just so you know where he's coming from, he is a born-again Christian who is explaining the outsiders to people of faith. I think you'll find this an interesting perspective. Also on today's show, Professor Dan Kamen from UC Berkeley. He is on the leading edge of the fight against climate change, and he's going to talk with us about the unique arrangement between BP, British Petroleum, and the University of California. About $500 million will be coming from the oil company into the university. And there have been some shifts in the governance structure of this joint venture that make me a little uncomfortable. We're going to talk with the professor about that, and also about the most recent report from the UN Climate Change Group, the IPCC, and it is now time for action. Will our political leaders take that action? Jason Leopold checks in as usual from truthout.org. He's talked to another former U.S. attorney who suggests that Alberto Gonzalez obstructed justice and politicized the U.S. attorneys around the country. Melanie Sloan from Crew checks in from Washington about the new ethics plan in the House. She says it protects the pay-to-play program that the Republicans were famous for. We're also going to talk about investigations into Congressman Jerry Lewis and a new bribery charge against Dollar Bill Jefferson. Apparently no freezers involved in this one. And also we're going to get a report from two progressive Democratic activists who were at the confab in Anaheim over the weekend and attempted to pass a resolution censuring Senator Dianne Feinstein of California for her recent Republican votes on the Attorney General confirmation and on the confirmation of Judge Leslie Southwick. So that's all ahead, plus your phone calls, as I mentioned, 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. One of the most inspiring figures that I've met over the last few years is the Reverend Robin Myers. He preaches at the Mayflower Church in Oklahoma City. He teaches at Oklahoma City University, professor of rhetoric. And he writes a column, and he is also the author of a powerful book called Why the Christian Right is Wrong. Dr. Myers, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter, it's great to be back. Thanks.
How are you holding up this season? Are you ready for Thanksgiving?
Well, you know, I'm out here in the reddest of red states, and everyone's about to go, you know, knock themselves over to go shopping. But other than that, I'm holding up well.
Have you ever heard of the Reverend Billy in the Church of Stop Shopping?
Yes, in fact, I have.
They have a movie that is going to be out at some of the art houses during the time between Thanksgiving and Christmas called What Would Jesus Buy? Have you heard about that?
I have not, but I wonder, what would Jesus buy?
Well, let me ask you that. I think you might be closer to to the source than I am.
I'll make a suggestion. This is just a wild guess. He would do some microcredit lending to someone in Iraq to start a bakery instead of buying some more junk at Walmart.
Mm. That's very nice. Very nice. Well, if you have a chance to see the film, it's by turns humorous and very powerful in explaining why Americans need to get their consumption habits in check.
Yeah, they do, of course, because it's destroying the planet.
Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Myers, I went on vacation last summer, and my email got all jammed up, and I think I got dropped from your mailing list. I was receiving your newspaper column on a frequent basis. Just take a minute here and tell me what you've written about recently and what's really either provoking you or motivating you.
Well, that's very kind. Thanks for asking. I did a column just recently called Can't Touch That, in which I talked about some Oklahoma legislators who refused to accept a gift of the Quran, the holy book of Islam, from the Centennial Committee. This is the 100th anniversary of Oklahoma. We've had all these big to-dos. And a very, very kind group of Muslims, and there are 30 to 50,000 living in Oklahoma, gave a centennial edition of the Quran to all Oklahoma state legislators. And one of them in particular, Rex Duncan from Tulsa, said he would not accept any book that advocated for the killing of innocent men, women, and children. And so he turned the gift back, and a group of like-minded right-wing Republicans joined him. And we're up to now 30 legislators from Oklahoma who won't touch the Quran. This is probably going to make national news because it is so insanely stupid. And it indicates that if the last act of grace is to make a person gracious, then none of these people have understood grace. I wrote the column to say this is not how all Oklahomans feel, and it's a really sad day when you turn back someone's holy book because you don't agree with everything in it. Heck, I don't agree with everything in the Bible.
Yeah. Now, would you also say that that's not a very Christian act?
I would say slightly, since Jesus was always trying to get us to go to the other side and embrace and pray for the neighbor and the enemy.
Now, Dr. Myers, I've been getting some dispatches from Tulsa recently about revelations at Oral Roberts University. Richard Roberts, who's the son of the founder, Oral, appears to be ready to resign, but he wants to pick the time, I suppose. And there are allegations that his wife was prone to text messaging young male students between 1 and 3 in the morning and, you know,
yeah,
things like that. Why do we keep seeing KRXA these scandals erupt?
Visit our website
one that just came
at
out.
KRXA540.com.
Or folks, Reverend
if you like
folks,
people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA.
It kind of ties with what
hey,
we're going
to
talk about.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think
into
for yourself.
The attitudes of young
what
people about Christians.
AM 540 KRXA.
The findings are that they see Christians as
our radio show for the whole family.
Political. And
dysfunctional family.
Well,
Stephanie
gosh,
Miller on AM 540 KRXA, 6 a.m.
Right.
weekdays.
Hey,
this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages
this,
you to think for
that,
yourself.
It's not healthy
concept.
To pretend you're
AM 540 KRXA.
And the Christian right
if
is
you like
the process
people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie
really
Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA.
Pretended to be something.
You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM radio, KRXA.
For what they are, and they are in fact hypocritical, and they have hijacked the gospel, and they are sort of reaping some strange rewards now as a result.
So can I suspect that you're not backing Rudy Giuliani?
It's a very strange thing to have Pat Robertson back Rudy Giuliani. I suspect
it?
He just wanted to get back in the headlines because otherwise that makes no sense whatsoever. No, I'm a Barack Obama fan, but I'll tell you, anybody, just about anybody, including around here what we call a yellow dog, would be better than what we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's absolutely true. Now, in reaction to these various, negative scandals and other reports that come out of the Christian right, we still, I find you a rare and refreshing voice, Dr. Myers, because there is a kind of code of silence that one man of the cloth doesn't criticize another. And the stakes are too high now. I'm not really concerned about private sexual behavior.
Yeah.
I'm much more concerned about the burning issues of morality related to the war in Iraq, the presidential power grab, the loss of our civil liberties and privacy rights. And I don't hear most religious people addressing those issues in any way, shape, or form.
Well, that's because you're not sitting in the pews of Mayflower Church in Oklahoma City.
Okay.
Because I'm talking about them all the time, and I'm writing about them all the time. And the paperback edition of my book, Why the Christian Right's Wrong, is coming out in January. I've written a new foreword for it. The new foreword's called It's Only Gotten Worse. If I had known then what I know now, I think I would have written an even stronger book. And I take a good shot at the Democrats because I'm very disappointed in the way they have failed to do what we elected them to do. That's a whole nother topic.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Peter, there are some glimmers of hope. In Oklahoma, we just passed the toughest anti-illegal alien law in the United States, and included in that law is a provision which makes felons out of any of us who transport, give shelter, or other aid with either knowingly or with reckless disregard.
All right, that does it. Reserve the Robin Myers suite at Guantanamo.
Here we go. And I'm telling you, that makes us criminals in the church if we extend basic compassion to someone we don't take the... And this turns us into law enforcement people. I have to find out if a Hispanic person that I meet and give a meal to or drive to the grocery store is in fact an illegal alien, and I hate the term alien because these people are not from another planet.
Hey, don't forget the Swedes. You know, there are a lot of illegal Swedes in this country, and they get off easy.
That's exactly right. And you know, we're having quite a time here in Oklahoma because we're getting tough against illegal aliens. The only problem is they're cutting our grass. They're roofing our houses. They're pouring the concrete for the roads we drive down in our big cars with our tinted windows sitting behind them in oblivion. We're living through the strangest and most hypocritical times. And all I can tell you, Peter, is that there is a breakdown of the old coalitions. The Southern Baptist Convention, that this past weekend, said, among other things, that the man should be the head of the household and we can't serve wine in grocery stores, things you would expect Baptists to say, went on to say, and the Southern Baptists will not be told by the state of Oklahoma how to respond to a human being in need.
Hmm.
That means Baptists are prepared to break the law. And it was one of the rare times when my church, a very liberal church, could actually agree with something the Baptists were doing and the Nazarenes were doing and the Pentecostals were doing.
KRXA 540. Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Gay marriage and abortion are not the only two things we ought to be talking about.
Yeah, we need to take a break. We'll return with Dr. Robin Myers. His book, as he told you, is coming out in paperback, Why the Christian Right is Wrong. And in it, he uses the F word. We're going to touch on that as we continue in just a moment. Here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines available, 888-5-PETER-B. If you'd like to join us, 888-573-8372. Catch our zippy new easy-to-use podcasts at peterbcollins.com.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate-quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Don't your children deserve the very best for the holidays? Locally owned and operated, Thinker Toys has been the first holiday shopping stop for generations of parents in Carmel and Monterey, where owner Mark Phillips and his staff take great pride in personally serving every customer. Thinker Toys is dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly. While Thinker Toys specializes in educational toys for newborns through six-year-olds, there's no better place than Thinker Toys to buy great toys for thinking kids of all ages. Make your child's Christmas, Hanukkah, Chrismica, Kwanzaa, or the holiday of your choice extra special with high-quality educational toys and games from Thinker Toys. Open every day at 10 a.m. in Carmel at 7th and San Carlos and in Monterey at the Del Monte Center. Drop by Thinker Toys today and tell Mark that Peter B. sent you. Happy holidays,
KRXA 540.
Visit our website at KRXA540.com. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with for the season, the first weekend in November, with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes. Schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
We'll be right back.
continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, just another roadside attraction on the road to hell. And I do apologize, I messed up the location and the name of the latest wayward reverend. It's the 80-year-old leader of a suburban Atlanta megachurch named Archbishop Earl Paulk, P-A-U-L-K. And a 34-year-old who now runs the church was previously known as Earl Polk's nephew, but it's recently been revealed it's actually his son.
This ain't no technological breakdown. Oh no, this is the road.
We continue with Dr. Robin Myers. As we mentioned, this powerful book is called Why the Christian Right is Wrong. And Dr. Myers, I teased with the F word. The F in this case is fascism. And in the book, you cite the criteria for fascism. And when you see the incredible hate-filled reaction to issues like undocumented immigrants being in our midst and performing all the work that Americans won't do, and you see this reduced to code words like driver's licenses in the presidential debates on television. We really are on the verge of fascism in so many respects.
I think that's right. And I 4 years ago wrote a column called Using the F Word that was published in a newspaper in Oklahoma. And people are still writing letters about that and talking about it. And I make no apologies because I think all the signs were present. And one more time, because this always makes people gasp, I'm going to read the 14. They're very quick and short. Yep. So if you're driving your car around in San Francisco, just listen up. Number one, powerful and continuing nationalism. Number two, disdain for the recognition of human rights. Number three, identification of enemies and scapegoats as a unifying cause. Number four, supremacy of the military. Number five, rampant sexism. Number six, controlled mass media. Number seven, obsession with national security. Number eight, religion and government intertwined. Number nine, protection of corporate power. Number 10, suppression of labor power. Number 11, disdain for intellectuals and the arts. Number 12, obsession with crime and punishment. Number 13, rampant cronyism and corruption. And number 14, fraudulent elections.
Holy cow.
Don't wreck your car. Please drive carefully. But every one of those are obvious and ascendant in the United States. And Hispanics who work hard and contribute to this country, and yes, some of whom came here illegally to help their families and themselves to a better life, are the new political scapegoats in the United States.
Yeah. It's really tragic to see it, and especially so-called progressives getting trapped, again, behind these codes like driver's licenses that really bring along hateful thought and hateful messages and hateful politics. Dave joins us. Dave
sure.
is on the line. Go ahead, Dave. You're on the air with Dr. Myers.
Yes, Reverend. I'm wondering your best guess. Do you believe these criminal neocon fascists believe that they are some kind of Christians, or is that a means that you have of keeping their more ignorant followers in line?
Oh, I think they don't think of themselves as Christians at all. I think Karl Rove tapped into the political power of the Christian right and said, look, there's 40 million of these people out there, and we need to say the right things about stem cells and the right things about abortion and the right things about the issues they care about, so we've got their vote. And actually now we know from inside sources that the president and some of his inner circle actually made jokes about leading Christian right figures. They thought they were a little bit crazy, but they certainly played the role, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, and they gave us judges who please the far right in this country, and we're stuck with this Supreme Court for virtually the balance of our lives, Dr. Myers.
That's right, Peter, and that's why I have three children, and this grieves me the most.
Yeah. Dr. Myers, just about 30 seconds. Can I just ask you to give us a little upbeat message here as we head into the Thanksgiving and then the Christmas holidays?
You bet. Thanksgiving is the one holiday we haven't figured out how to commercialize, which is a wonderful thing. So get together with your family if you can, eat some turkey, give thanks for the enormous blessings that you have, and take faith seriously, which is you don't have any real reason to believe things will get better, but you still believe they might, and you're going to do something to make it happen.
Dr. Robin Myers, thanks for joining us. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
My pleasure, Peter.
Coming up next, we'll talk about the research about young people and their attitudes toward Christianity here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by TreeClassics.com, the world's finest artificial Christmas trees. I'm Charles Osgood. Americans with household incomes of $200,000 or more a year make almost two-thirds of all the charitable donations that are made in the United States. Most of them are not super rich, although there are some politicians who seem to think they are and can't wait to raise their taxes. But these are people who are now seeing their stock portfolios fall because of the mortgage mess and their homes decline in value. And there's growing concern about the effect of this on charitable donations of all kinds. The story after this. This Christmas, decorate your home with the world's finest artificial Christmas trees from TreeClassics.com. With more than 76 styles, all backed by their 10-year tree and 5-year light warranty, TreeClassics.com.
Our radio show for the whole family.
Hassle-free holiday.
Dysfunctional
by
family.
Direct.
Stephanie Miller on AM 540 KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Type in CO22, and you'll get an additional 10% discount when checking out. TreeClassics.com. Their price and their quality cannot be beat. Bose Quiet Comfort Acoustic Noise Canceling Headphones fade background distractions so that you can hear your music more clearly, and they're so comfortable you may forget you're wearing them. Call 800-611-1468 to try them for just 30 days risk-free. You can get QC headphones by January 31st and get $50 towards select Bose products purchased at the same time. Conditions and limitations apply. Choose QC3 headphones for an on-ear fit, QC2 headphones for an around-ear fit. Call for details. They'll make a great gift. So call 800-611-1468. People give when they can afford to, and they don't when they can't. Corporations seem to be giving less now, too, as they project lower profits. Yet, just when charitable organizations are seeing their donations start to shrink, the demand for their services increases. Food banks are serving more people, seeing their own costs, gasoline and everything else, rising. The people they serve are struggling on the edge anyway.
Sometimes I don't think I'm going to make it through.
And they depend on food banks and pantries.
Going to the food pantry does make a difference. I mean, an extra roll of toilet paper, an extra can of vegetables, a bag of rice.
But these places are facing record shortages now. In Los Angeles, they're down more than 3 million meals from what they were able to serve last year. In Michigan, they're down over a million. Seth Doan of CBS News visited the Food Bank for New York City, which is down 4 million meals from what they were able to serve last year.
How bad is the situation here?
In the 20 years that I've been here at the food banks, this is the worst I've ever seen.
It is still a safety net, but as Doan points out,
it's a safety net with more and more holes.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Jim's Restaurant and Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Jim's Restaurant is celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Enjoy Jim's lunch specials for just $5.75 and dinner specials for only $6.50 per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests, and you call in with your questions and ideas, and we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future, and we're doing it 5 times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's good to have you listening. This half hour, we're going to talk about the attitudes of young Americans about Christianity. There's a new book out based on extensive research. It's called Unchristian, What a New Generation Really Thinks About Christianity and Why It Matters. Author David Kinnaman joins us on the program this half hour. David, welcome to our show.
Hey, thanks, Peter. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Nice to talk with you. And you're president of the Barna Group. It says here on the jacket book, the book jacket, which provides research and resources that facilitate spiritual transformation in people's lives. Now, the book evidences that you do a lot of what people would call market research or attitudinal research. What else do you do at the Barna Group?
Well, we're actually a full-service market research company that looks at a variety of different things. We work for places like Sony and Universal, as well as a lot of nonprofit organizations like World Vision. So we really try to help organizations and leaders understand, what do people think, how do they act, how do they spend their money, how do they give their money, and then how can all of that be translated into making a difference in the world.
And is it generally focused around religion and spirituality, or is it just broad-based and this book is just the result of certain specific projects you've done?
It's fairly broad-based, but it all has a fairly spiritual slant. The way we describe it is that when it comes to the intersection of faith and culture, when you talk about spirituality and how our lives as Americans get lived out, that's what we study.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And as I perceive the book, you wrote it for other Christians to try to explain why young people and what you refer to as outsiders, those who are unchurched or non-religious, view Christian groups and Christian leaders.
That's exactly right. Yeah, the audience is really for Christians. And, you know, the organization that I work for is a Christian organization in the sense that all the people that work here are Christians, and we generally serve Christian organizations, the types of ministries that we work with. And so what I did is, after we've done this research, a three-year project, really I determined that, you know, there's a lot of things about our faith, and we don't realize how many Christians there are in the country. And we have a lot to answer for. We've been the dominant faith in America ever since it started. And as you look at people's perspectives now, particularly people, and I didn't use the term outsiders in any kind of pejorative way. It's simply to say they're looking at Christianity from the outside in. And mm-hmm. What does it look like? And so I wanted to write this to, you know, fellow Christians to say, listen, we've got to wake up to the reasons, the very substantive things that we're not doing like Jesus would, and understand why people are calling us unchristian.
Well, David, I'm an unchurched secularist, and so I did read the term outsiders and initially found it a little off-putting, but you do explain that it's simply a term and it's not meant to be loaded, so I didn't get hung up on that.
Right, and as, you know, this is one of those things that a lot of Christians will use terms like lost or, you know, pagans or these other kinds of terms, which are so much worse, than, mm-hmm. and we have to use some kind of label to talk about these issues, so we use outsiders.
Sure, okay. And also, I think before we go a little further, we should define a mosaic and a buster. I'm a boomer. So busters are currently, what, age 22 to 35?
Yeah, it's 23 to 41 about. Uh-huh. But and then a mosaic is anybody who's young 20s and down into their teenage years. You could sort of think of it as Gen X and then Gen Y. There are different labels for these things, but it's simply to refer to the fact that after the baby boom generation, which was the largest generation in American history, mm-hmm. You've got the bust generation, because it was a much smaller generation, and then the mosaic generation, and we call them mosaics because of their eclectic thinking and lifestyles and their very diverse perspectives about things. So those two generations primarily are the ones that we studied, Mosaics and Busters.
And David, have you read the work of Strauss? That's Bill Strauss and Neil Howe. There's a series of books called Generations.
Yes, right. Yeah, they've got a whole bunch of stuff that's really, really terrific about the generation.
It is. It's fascinating. And I first tapped into it in the early 90s. And in their second book, they predicted, based on generational turnover, that we would be at war and have serious financial setbacks in the early years of this new century. And it's stunning just how accurate some of those predictions have been. So to your report here, give us a quick overview of how young people perceive Christian groups, Christian leaders, and Christianity itself.
Well, I think one of the big surprises is that, well, it's not a surprise to find that people who are not Christians have a fairly negative view of Christianity, but what's really quite a surprise is how negative those views really are, how they've actually become more crystallized in the last 10 or 15 years, and really how people are becoming, you know, more and more jaded about Christianity. And again, part of my goal was to say, listen, as Christians, we need to be more aware of the reasons people have criticism and really to own our stuff and say, you know, we have been hypocritical, we've been proselytizers, we've been anti-homosexual in a way, we've been sheltered, we've been too political, we've been judgmental. And those, in fact, are the six areas that we address. And it's all based on the research that we did where we find, all right, so what are the things that you think about Christianity? And then we actually looked at both favorable and unfavorable things, and nine out of the top 12 perceptions were actually negative.
Mm-hmm. And when you say judgmental, I would tag onto that self-righteous. I think that one of the things that's really off-putting is that, and I want to be very clear here, I'm not trying to overgeneralize, but there are some Christians who are so full of themselves and full of faith, full of belief and you know, that sensibility, that they really can be ruthless in how they apply their religious beliefs, particularly to others.
I couldn't agree with you more. And you know, after this study, I'm just really heartbroken about all the ways that, you know, some of us as Christ followers have represented what that means. And, you know, Jesus was just as concerned about self-righteousness as he was about unrighteousness. And you could make a very clear argument from the pages of the Bible that, you know, as Christians, people that are supposed to be following this faith, we're not let off easy for those kinds of judgmental attitudes. And too often we excuse that, we excuse pride, and we don't realize really how offensive that can be, not only to people around us, but in my view, also it's offensive to God.
Well, and also some of those who've been the loudest, the most shrill, the most judgmental really have feet of clay and have been outed for that. Whether you want to talk about Ted Haggard, the stuff that's going on at Oral Roberts University, this latest thing from Atlanta, the Polk church and dynasty there, it's really shameful that some of the people who, you know, have the most judgmental exteriors inside can't live up to even half of what they try to force other people to do.
Well, I think it's a spiritual issue in a lot of ways, because it's interesting that in many places in the pages of the Bible, it actually says that as soon as you start thinking that you've got it all right, you somehow miss the point of what it means to be a Christian, that as soon as you start believing that it's your own effort, it's your own fundamental goodness, it's your own fundamental right way of living, and you're not transparent about your...
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy
KRXA
quality Mexican food prepared
visit
with
our
California
website
seasonings
at
and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from 12-Step Talk Uncensored. Saturdays from 4 to 5 p.m., listen as we deal with life-changing issues that affect all of us. Our fears, passions, anger, addictions, the law of attraction, and how we change ourselves so we can live an extraordinary life. Join me, Sheila Gale, as we share tools for change that work. 12-Step Talk Uncensored, Life 105, Saturdays 4 to 5, brought to you by Sun Street Centers with education, prevention, and treatment for alcohol and drug addiction.
On August 28, Todd Endress was almost eaten alive by an 18-foot great white while surfing on Monterey Bay. A pod of 15 dolphins formed a wall between Todd and the shark, otherwise he would have died. ISARF, the International Shark Attack Research Fund, is a nonprofit foundation spearheaded by Todd to find ways to keep surfers, swimmers, and divers safe in our oceans without harming the shark. If you'd like to help, please go to ISARF.org to make your tax-deductible donation. That's ISARF.org.
Trial was rather unusual because he participated carefully without compromising his judicial integrity in part of the broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
But what was interesting to me is that what was revealed in the course of this trial is that the proponents of intelligent design originally called it creationism. They repackaged it by badly using a find and replace feature in software, you know, in a Word program.
And the Discovery Institute as well. They didn't cover that part of the story either.
Well, that's a very important point. I do know about the Discovery Institute, and of course they were very active in the Terry Schiavo case.
Right.
In addition to the whole promotion of intelligent design. But my point is that they used what they might call heavenly deception. But dissembling lies and misleading testimony and information to try to insert religious training into a science class
right.
in a public school. And to me, I cannot rationalize that in any way, shape, or form. It is a corruption of the message of Jesus Christ, and it is a corruption of our process as they tried to deceive people into pretending that intelligent design is not religion-based and is not creationism.
Amen, brother.
David, first, what's your reaction to that?
Well, I didn't see the program. I couldn't agree with you more about the idea that we should be more engaged intellectually, and that a lot of times, again, this is part of the message of the book. Now, again, I think it's written for a Christian audience to try to slowly wake them up to a lot of these issues, because there's a lot of things that we need to understand, and a lot of people really aren't ready to hear. So this is not a raving book that criticizes Christians, because otherwise people, you know, my brothers and sisters wouldn't be willing to read this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to wake them up to a lot of these issues.
I see that.
Now, I think, again, the idea, Ken had asked, well, you know, what branch of Christianity would that be? I don't think there's a particular branch that you could, you know, go to a particular church. I think what you'd have to do is start searching around, reading people who've done a lot of study on this stuff, Francis Collins and others that talk about, you know, all sorts of different things. Just you know, continue to study. One of the things that I think is frustrating to me in having studied so much about this is that there's so much emphasis on joining a particular church, and this is even that you know, proselytizing perception, that a lot of us are trying to say, all right, you know what, Jesus demands from us as his followers an engaged, sophisticated, loving, compassionate response to the world that admits that we're trying to understand how the world works. It means that we don't understand it all because God is transcendent, but it also means that we should be, you know, searching for answers. But more than simply having answers, it's about the quality of our lives and how much we serve people around us.
That's David Kinnaman. We're talking about his new book, Unchristian. Ken, thanks for a great call. It's good to have you listening on 1240 Talk City, KSAC in Sacramento. More calls in the next segment as we continue with David Kinnaman. The book, Unchristian, What a New Generation Really Thinks About Christianity. That's coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Wishing that the band would start to play. no spine. I mean, they have no spine whatsoever.
Here's the other thing I had to say, which I think is also spot on.
No one in the Republican Party and in the administration is being pressured by the Democrats to start a drawdown, to start slowing down the spending, to give us some light at the end of the tunnel. All this garbage about fighting them over there so we don't have to fight them here has worn thin. We need to start seeing a drawdown. Now, if you want to say that this is a victory after $1.2 trillion and the way we're treating our veterans and the lack of equipment, it's going to take 10 years to recapitalize our military. We have depleted our resources. This has been a failed policy, and there's no end in sight. And I'm just not going to let the Democrats off the hook on this.
All right.
I know where the American people are. They want an end on this.
Right or wrong, Dave?
No, that's absolutely correct. Now, that's absolutely correct, Ed. And they just completely blindly ignore that stuff, and they just proceed ahead in God knows what direction.
Good to have you with us. Appreciate your call. Hopefully see you at Joey's Brick House on December 6th in good old Chicago. It's the night the Redskins taking on the Chicago Bears. We're talking food, politics, and football. We're right back on the Ed Schultz Show.
Turning the red states into the Ed states. The Ed Schultz Show on the Jones Radio Networks.
Hi, Mom.
What's all this?
I got you a cell phone, the Coop from Verizon Wireless. Check it out. It's got a big keypad, easy-to-read screen, plus dedicated buttons for emergency contacts. It's everything you need and nothing you don't.
Great. But what's with the 4 zillion people?
Oh, that's the network. They come with it.
Hi.
Good to meet you.
Hey, how you doing?
Good afternoon.
Welcome.
Hola.
Say hello to the Coop, backed by the Good Housekeeping Seal, exclusively from Verizon Wireless, America's...
kinds of behavior, and sort of creating, keeping the lid on expressions of vulgarity or whatever that may be,
mm-hmm.
that it's hard to control people's hearts and minds. And the church has really failed at that because they focused on what I believe is sort of superficial indicators of morality, rather than cultivating the kinds of people that Jesus would be proud of, the most generous, the most compassionate, the most
giving
people.
David, on that note, I commend you for the self-examination, for your desire to help other Christians understand the criticisms of them. On the other hand, for me, missing from this list is important issues of public morality, like supporting the war in Iraq.
Yeah, sure. Well, and there's all sorts of generational differences there as well. We find that young Christians are much less likely to support that than older Christians as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things that we're seeing with young people in terms of their willingness to be engaged in social justice issues around the world. Really, their sense of global perspectives about what is the proper role of a consumer in this world today. The difficulty is that so many people are in some ways becoming consumers of cause. And I think as much as they're becoming aware of some of the global issues, we maybe haven't, given them the pathways yet to really make the kinds of differences that they ought to. And that's something I'm going to study in the future. How can we actually activate all this concern for the world around us into more meaningful differences in our lives?
All right, Rob in Citrus Heights, thanks for calling. You're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter B., great topic there. Hey, I just wanted to make a little comment. I'm an outsider boomer. I'm a Buddhist pagan. But Jesus Christ is a hero. His teachings, he's a hero to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, I hate to see, from the outside looking in, I hate to see the hypocrisy of Christianity. I mean, I've just seen way too much of it.
Well, I hear you there. Thank you, Rob. I appreciate your comment today. Let's jump to Steve in Sacramento. Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Well, your previous caller hit it right on the head. I'm an outsider in the sense that I'm a Jefferson Christian who doesn't believe in virgin births or resurrections or floods, but I believe in the philosophy of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what he was saying. And when you see the philosophy trashed to the extent it's been trashed, you just want to grab him by the collar and slap him. I don't care what he says about it. Don't turn the other cheek. I mean, it really is so annoying when they can justify this war and then say that they're a Christian. It's annoying.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, well, thank you, and I appreciate your comments here. And I'd like to say one thing about the comment on intelligent design. I'm a Jefferson Christian in the sense that I believe in a creator, and that's why he said creation instead of something else in the Declaration. And as far as creation goes, if you really study genetics, the only answer you end up with is creation. It has nothing to do with the Bible. But you'd have to be somebody like me who's done a lot of studying of genetics to understand that there are no positive mutations, really, so you can't have it.
Gotcha. I'm out of time, but thank you for the call. I really appreciate it. David Kinnaman, thank you for joining us, and whoever sent it to me, thank them for sending the book. I found this very interesting, and I hope our listeners enjoyed it, too.
Peter, I appreciate it. Yeah, great discussion.
All right, Unchristian is the book. We've been talking with its author, David Kinnaman, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Visit our website where the podcasts live. You can send a friend there to hear this show in case you think they ought to grab it. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. PeterBCollins.com. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, explain the value of wines made from organic grapes.
You know, I think that drinking organic wines is what Tony Robbins described as a class one experience. Wines made with organic grapes feel good. They taste extremely good, just like an organic tomato or strawberry tastes usually better than a conventional counterpart. They are good. There's plenty of scientific evidence about the health benefits of drinking wine in moderation. Drinking organic wines also is good for other people in that you're supporting farmers. And last but not least, it's definitely good then for the higher good.
The Organic Wine Company. Log on to ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B's.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A very, very important breakthrough.
Praise from supporters and opponents of embryonic stem cell research as scientists report they've created an alternative from ordinary skin cells.
The costs of actually performing this procedure is not really that much.
University of Wisconsin researcher Dr. James Thompson.
It's actually fairly straightforward to repeat what we've done here by an average lab.
Can these cells truly form anything in the body as embryonic stem cells can? Is there a cancer risk? Unanswered questions, and any treatments from this technique are years away. But the promise is there, says Penn bioethicist Dr. Arthur Kaplan.
If you can manipulate your own body cells, that means you should be able to have your own repair kit without having the body attack anything that you make from those cells.
Barry Bagnetto, CBS News, Washington.
Now this.
Ace Hardware wants to make a dent in your shopping list at our After Thanksgiving sale, starting Friday at 7 a.m. with doorbuster deals like a 7-inch digital photo frame for $49.99, a 5-piece card table and chair set for only $39.99, and a classic 34-inch radio flyer wagon for just $29.99. Plus, get double points for your Ace Rewards card. It's the After Thanksgiving sale, Friday through Sunday at Ace, the holiday helpful place. Price is good at participating Ace Hardware stores while supplies last. See store for details.
Hey, it's Ty Pennington. This holiday, I'm all about granting wishes. But get this. Right now, Sears has a way for you to give to others and get a wish for yourself. Because right now, they're giving you a $10 reward card with any clothing and shoe purchase of $50 or more, including Land's End, when you use your Sears card. Giving has never been so rewarding. So come into Sears today for your reward card, and don't just give a gift. Grant a wish.
Exclusions and restrictions apply. Reward card received after point of purchase by mail. See store at Sears.com for details. Offer ends 12/7.
It will be the first Supreme Court ruling on a Second Amendment case in 69 years. The court has agreed to decide whether the Washington, D.C. law that bans handguns is constitutional.
The main plaintiff, who insists that he has the right to own a handgun for self-protection at home, is Dick Heller, who was granted a gun permit for his job as a security guard.
The Second Amendment grants us the right to keep and bear arms to defend our life and our household, and that's the crux of the issue.
That was intended for supporting a militia, says Paul Helmke, head of the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence. He says a lower court that struck down the ban on handguns was wrong.
This will be a chance to reverse that decision and clarify for the public what the Second Amendment's all about.
Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
The struggle over funding the Iraq war has become a game of chicken in Washington, where Pentagon spokesman Jeff Morrell warns of serious consequences if Congress doesn't come through with some money very soon.
The most immediate impact will be felt next month, just before Christmas, in fact, when we will begin notifying roughly 200,000 civilians and contractors that we can no longer afford their services.
CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has the story from Capitol Hill.
House Democrats angrily reject dire warnings from the Pentagon that it will have to start firing civilian workers to pay for the Iraq war. Appropriations Committee Chairman David Obey says Congress is happy to provide the money as soon as President Bush agrees to start withdrawing combat troops.
As far as I'm concerned, the ball is in his court.
And Pennsylvania Democrat John Murtha says it's outrageous the Pentagon's scaring people with threats of closing bases.
Because the Pentagon says it, you believe it? You believe what the Pentagon says?
Obey and Murtha insist without a change from President Bush, there will be no more Iraq money. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Polygamist leader Warren Jeffs, convicted as an accomplice to rape for arranging the marriage of a 14-year-old girl to her cousin, was sentenced this afternoon.
The judge gave Warren Jeffs the maximum possible under Utah law, two consecutive sentences of 5 years to life. Jeffs will have to serve a minimum of 10 years in prison. This woman, a former member of Jeffs' religious group who was forced to marry at 16, is pleased.
Because Warren Jeffs is sitting in jail, there's thousands of children that are sleeping better and safer in their beds tonight.
Jeff's attorneys plan an appeal. Steve Futterman, CBS News, St. George, Utah.
The price of crude oil jumped today, settling in New York above $98 a barrel, and analyst Peter Butel says that's bound to boost gasoline prices.
If there's any way people can fill up tonight or today, I think that would probably be a better idea than waiting to see what the price might be, because it is going to go higher. It's just a matter of when.
He says today's $3.67 spike will translate into another 5 or 10 cents at the pump. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Well, I was shopping for a new car. Which one's me? A cool convertible or an SUV? Too bad I didn't know my credit was whack, because now I'm driving off the lot in a used subcompact FREE. That spells free. CreditReport.com, baby. Saw their ads on my TV. Thought about going, but was too lazy. Now instead of looking fly and rolling fat, my legs are sticking to the vinyl and my posse's getting laughed at. FREE. That spells free. CreditReport.com, baby.
Offer applies to enrollment and Triple Advantage.
Say you're driving to a business meeting without a TomTom GPS, and you want to avoid traffic. You could drive with your ear glued to the speaker, waiting anxiously for the traffic report that seems impossibly choreographed to come at the precise moment it's already too late, while hoping and praying that the world's worst traffic doesn't suddenly jump out to greet you with each and every turn. Or you could use a TomTom. With real-time traffic updates, all you have to do is drive, while your TomTom GPS device takes you there the fastest way possible. TomTom. Go confidently.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
You on the Peter B. Collins Show, where it's 6 minutes after the hour. A little bit later this hour, Jason Leopold checks in from truthout.org. He's been digging into the scandal over the firing of U.S. attorneys, and one of them, a guy who got fired from the Seattle office named McKay, suggests that Alberto Gonzalez is guilty of obstruction of justice. We'll get the lowdown from Jason in just about half an hour. And before we begin our next segment, just a quick note. The Peter B. Collins Show is delivered to our great affiliate radio stations by satellite And Jones, the company that operates our satellite system, has delivered zippy new receivers to all of our affiliate stations. And they're very complicated. And we've found that when they're first installed, sometimes, inexplicably, the Ed Schultz Show pops up where it should be the Peter B. Collins Show. So if that happens where you're listening, do not be alarmed. Do not suspect that Karl Rove or Homeland Security is responsible. It's just a technical glitch. And we're getting it fixed at the various radio stations that we're on, so it shouldn't be too much of a problem. Well, I want to talk this half hour with Professor Dan Kamen from the University of California at Berkeley. He's a professor of energy and society at the Energy and Resources Group and also director of their Renewable and Appropriate Energy Laboratory. And, Dan, welcome back to our program today.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Always good to talk with you. I wanted to talk about two things. In the second segment, we'll get to the IPCC report. That, of course, is the UN body that has been studying climate change, and they just reached their final one, and they have some very interesting points, and now they're kind of punting it to the politicians. We'll talk about that. But first up, you have been intimately involved in the development of a new joint venture with the University of California and BP, British Petroleum. And BP has put up a pledge of $500 million over, the next 5 or 10 years to fund research into new energy sources. And the last time we talked, you seemed pretty comfortable with it. And then it was reported just last week that the governance structure of the new entity has been changed. It was set up so that the academics had essentially a majority and the folks from industry were in the minority, but now it's been rejiggered and it's a 50-50 arrangement. I'm a little uncomfortable with that because it gives the people who are funding this research essentially veto power over projects and programs that you or your colleagues may wish to get funded.
Well, so this is true. I mean, the structure has gone to a 50-50 split, and the arguments given by the university and by BP on this are that, in fact, it effectively gives both sides a veto. Either one gets to say no to directions they don't want to take, but it's not supposed to boil down to the individual project level, and I'm not completely sure that I agree on this point, and I have not read all of the finest print, so I'm speaking from a broader position than from the more specific one. But what I have been told is that this is on the broad directions in the areas and not on the individual projects. And so far, on the individual projects, it has been the case that the university-based researchers, us at Berkeley, and at our partners, University of Illinois, as well as at Lawrence Berkeley National Lab, a lab that does no classified work, that they have truly, in fact, been in the driver's seat on the projects within the broader context of what the institute is supposed to work on. So At the first round, it does seem to have worked as expected. I may not actually agree with all of the academic-based decisions, but they were, in fact, largely driven by the academics. I am not clear, personally, where it's going to go at the next phase, because I would have not have thought that this sort of both sides get veto power was the logical way to do it. But I have heard from people at BP and at the university in the administration that they do think it's the right structure. So
and what was the
not clear?
What was the process that led to this modification, Dan?
Well, there was a process that I was personally not involved in. It was involved the lawyers on the university side and those on BP negotiating. And again, I've heard from both sides that they felt that the equal shares, i.e. both sides had effectively had veto power, was a decision they came to collectively. Beyond that, it's not one that I have been directly involved in.
Yeah. And one of the reasons for my discomfort, and let me just be really clear, I'm not a scientist and I don't pretend to be, but when I look at the big picture, and one of the things that just comes to mind here is the way General Motors killed their electric cars. And I don't know exactly why. It seems to me that General Motors would want to be making automobiles no matter what fuel source or energy source they use, and that they can read the handwriting on the wall that peak oil is here and that it's in their own best interest to move on from the internal combustion engine. That said, it's still pretty ugly the way General Motors recalled the electric vehicles and basically sent them to the scrap heap, not even letting people buy them and keep them and continue to experiment with them. So I use that as an example of the way that the interests of industries and corporations don't always match those of academic researchers. And so I'm concerned that at some point down the road, BP may pull punches and say, well, that may be a very interesting academic pursuit, but it's not in our corporate interest.
Right. Well, actually, I don't disagree with you on this. I do think that the academic freedom is important. And in fact, as I said, so far, I've been very impressed. I've thought that the BP individuals that we've dealt with all the way up through the chain to North American offices, to chief scientists and all, have been very open on these points. And I do share your discomfort with where it might be going in the end. I actually have a somewhat different view, and it's a little bit between the two of them. And that is that I don't think that the big current energy companies that did make their money on fossil fuels and so are, you know, highly tied to that, nor actually academics alone should be the drivers of what an institute like this works on. My concern is that we recognize overall that we need to make a transition off of oil, and while California is writing some absolutely phenomenally good legislation, the proof in the pudding is we have to put these things into practice. And academics don't necessarily move faster than other people in this area, so I would actually like to have a broader oversight that does try to put the best interests of the state, the citizens, and environment in the front. And so for my mind, a driving force behind it shouldn't be just academics who at some level are interested in research contracts and good projects, or a fossil fuel-based corporation, even one that I believe has been as innovative as BP in trying to evolve. I would like to see a broader public mission, which I think is really what protecting the environment and climate is about. It's not just about either one of those views.
Right.
That is, again, not reflected by either perspectives on this switch was good or the old model was good. But I do think that our driver in California, we have Assembly Bill 32, this climate protection law. We are trying to promote solar, wind, renewable, and biofuels. And that's really where I think this has to go. So I agree with you. I would like to see a different management structure, at least a different driver.
Yeah. Well, and Dan Kamen, the other thing that makes me uncomfortable, and this reflects a personal bias and not necessarily, you know, a real direct connection to these issues, but right now we see a lot of greenwashing advertising on television. It annoys me to no end when I turn on the news hour in PBS and I'm subjected to like a 30 or 40 second commercial from Chevron talking about all the renewables that they're trying to develop. Well, they're spending the egregious profits, the obscene profits that they're currently extracting from American consumers on this advertising, which is quite misleading. Because when you look at the budgets that Chevron devotes to renewables compared to what they're doing, for example, to hold on to their franchise in Burma,
right.
it pales by comparison. And so my concern, and I may be mixing Chevron and BP here, apples and oranges, but my concern is that BP is using this whole process as a greenwashing image builder.
So I think this actually is a more complicated point. I agree on the problem and the widespread issue of greenwashing. I mean, the number of people who buy carbon credits at a very low cost because you're investing in a bit of Costa Rican rainforest and then justify flying long distances is a real issue, as are some of the oil companies. BP and Chevron are actually on the environment in really quite different positions. BP has taken a leadership position on trying to green their overall portfolio. That doesn't mean being less profitable, of course. That means profitable on a greener set of products. And I think where this point comes down isn't actually what the corporations do. I would like them to be greener across the board. But to my mind, this still remains a failure of public policy. In this country, we've had 7 years at the federal level of not just inaction on climate change, but outright hostility. And it's put corporate profits ahead of not just green environmental behavior, but in front of the jobs of Americans, where we've lost jobs to countries like Denmark and Germany that are investing in solar and wind, and in terms of high-tech green startups. And we've also lost the ability to reinvest in inner cities, because if you did invest in local clean energy, you need to invest in the places where people live. And so the idea of developing so-called green collar jobs to really help revitalize our society, I think that's the failure to back Kyoto Protocol, the failure to come up with a U.S. plan if we didn't like that one. That's the place where the problem lies, in my view, because corporations, no matter how green they might like to be, never step ahead out of what they're really required to do. And so I may rate BP better than Chevron in some of these areas, but I really think this is a failure on the public policy side.
Well, I think that's a very strong point, and it's evidenced by the current energy bill in Washington, which has almost zero allocated for renewable energy sources. We're going to take a break and return with Professor Dan Cammon from the University of California at Berkeley. If you have a question or comment, bring it on now. He's with us for another segment. Toll free, it's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what
like
is important
to
you.
Funny,
and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches,
our
soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients.
Dysfunctional family.
Our all-you-can-eat Sunday
Stephanie
buffet
Miller on
with the
AM
top 540
KRXA,
entrees,
soup, 6
salads,
a.m.
desserts
weekdays.
Is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Yeah, let's take a look at the traffic and give you the very latest. First of all, Santa Cruz Mountains, no problems reported on Highway 17. That would be northbound and southbound, but that'll certainly change tomorrow because it'll be a getaway day for many traveling on that roadway. Also, Soquel Drive at Center, we have a crash. CHP is en route to the scene there. And Santa Clara County, Highway 152 East at 156, we have a two-car crash, center divide. Opal Cliffs,
Portola Drive southbound at 26. We have a bag of garbage, woohoo, in the old-fashioned lanes there. Well, in honor of Thanksgiving, 1-800-Flowers.com is offering free shipping and handling from our special radio collection. Just visit 1-800-Flowers.com and click the radio icon for details. That is a look at traffic on KRXA.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Is it a little warm around here?
Well, there's a little something that's been freaking me. I read it in the news, I seen it on TV. It haunts me in the night and creeps me in the morning. A spooky little thing called global warming.
We're talking with Professor Dan Kamen from the University of California at Berkeley. And Dan, just over the last few days, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, which is a group of 2,500 scientists, released the final installment of its reports on climate change. And now the ball is in the court of political leaders, and that scares the hell out of me. I mean, we've got Mr. Voluntary, George W. Bush, saying, well, you know, I don't want to have any regulations. But wasn't there supposed to be a meeting where he was going to knock some heads together? Has that happened? Did I miss it?
You missed it because no heads were knocked. That was called the meeting of the Dirty Dozen, and it was a meeting where they discussed a series of voluntary measures that each country would announce for itself and would implement itself, which, of course, is a recipe to do absolutely nothing, which is really a shame because, one, we have a major climate meeting coming up next month in Bali.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. has nothing significant to announce, whereas countries like Germany are going over with challenges that if other countries will up their amount of green energy, clean energy that they'll deploy, Germany will up their amount even further. There's a whole variety of groups pulling together really around a set of action items. And this IPCC report, and of course, this is the same IPCC that just won the Nobel Prize,
yeah,
and its director, Rajendra Pachauri, will accept that prize in December, and I'm actually quite proud to have been one of the lead authors. So in some diffuse way, many, many of us get to share this Nobel Prize.
Mm-hmm. Well, I congratulate you. I appreciate the work that you've done and the way you articulate it, Dan.
Well, so, you know, the thing that's concerning here is that what this IPCC report said is that the evolution we've seen over the last almost two decades, when the first reports came out, it said we detect the human influence on the climate. And then the reports a couple years later said humans are a driver of climate change. And then humans are primarily the driver. And then human activity is clearly impacting the climate. And the real punchline of this report is that we now see that the amount of climate change expected, and actually the amount that we're already even committed to, is going to change our economy, is going to change ecosystems, but that we still have a window to act. And if we don't act, we're likely to have a world in 2030, 2040, 2050, which is really dramatically different than the world we live in today,
mm-hmm,
including things like tropical coral reefs can largely disappear. And that's a world that's just too different, especially because we have technologies like solar, wind, biofuels, trying to capture carbon that we could deploy in large amounts. But the major polluter on the planet, the United States, the major driver of technological innovation, the United States, is absolutely doing nothing as a nation, which is really disappointing.
And Dan Kamen, when we boil it all down, we are at risk if the average temperatures increase by more than about 2 or 3 degrees Fahrenheit, worldwide, that we're going to see very dramatic effects. And yet we seem to be very flummoxed, deer in the headlights about what it will take for our contribution to reducing that warming trend.
It's really a surprise, given that we buy insurance all the time, life insurance, health insurance, auto insurance, for events that are incredibly less likely than global warming, which is now tremendously likely. And events like Katrina and like the forest fires in San Diego and like the massive fires they saw in Greece are the sorts of things that we expect to see more and more of. And yet those things come with massive price tags. The estimated cost of
the Hurricane Katrina is $1 trillion. We're spending $2 trillion in Iraq. It's massive amounts of money. And you're right, we don't seem to be getting the message, even as oil prices rise to these dramatic levels. And so I would have predicted that this amount of dislocation would have been enough to get us moving. But what we're finding out is that energy prices in the United States were so low for so long that even this rise isn't bringing it up to a level that will make people act. And that's really a disappointment, because the door is open. We have major companies like GE and Alcoa and Duke Energy, major Fortune 500 companies saying, we need leadership. We need a price of carbon. We need a carbon tax or a cap-and-trade system. And under that system, we U.S. companies will compete, innovate, and actually export to the world, recreate jobs, and help green the planet. And even with that invitation, the president isn't walking through it.
Well, and we saw the Ninth Circuit Court affirmed the lawsuit filed by Bill Lockyer a couple of years ago when he was Attorney General regarding SUVs and light trucks and the mileage rules. And Detroit's filing an appeal on that. Come on, Detroit. Get the message.
It really is remarkable. Fran Pavley, the author of the bill in which the law was about, has this wonderful line, and I think it sums it up, and that is, why does Detroit continue to send its lawyers when we were asking you to send your engineers?
Very
and
good.
Help us design better vehicles. And why is it that the average American pays almost half the price of gasoline in Europe, and yet our vehicles are so inefficient that we give back that gain because our vehicles need so much more fuel?
Dan Kamen, got to go. Thanks for joining us today. We'll talk again soon.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Discouraging the park people. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. It is the fate of every park in America, the permanent park people. They tend to be homeless or talking to somebody without a cell phone or needing a bathroom without quite enough time to get there. The problem isn't as bad in Europe, because if you don't have a job in Europe, they will just pay you as if you did, so that even if you talk to yourself, you can afford to have a cell phone, so at least it looks like you're talking to somebody else. But American cities struggle to find ways to get the permanent park people to leave without being cruel, since many times the park is the only place that will have them. Well, I think the city of Seattle has inadvertently stumbled on the answer. Seattle has a place called the Olympic Sculpture Park, run by the Seattle Art Museum. It's a park, but it is immaculate. Plus, it has art. There's an Alexander Calder medal thing that looks like a giant claw just landed. There's a 10-foot typewriter
eraser.
Hey,
this is Stephanie Miller. You're
really
listening to the station that encourages you to think for
yourself. And a sculpture of a child running through a fountain to greet his completely naked father.
AM 540 KRXA.
But what you won't find is graffiti, trash, used needles, or bearded men asleep on benches, unless they're cast in bronze. Even the bathrooms are clean. How does it happen? Special police patrols? No. It's the art. It has to be the art. It's the repellent effect of modern art. You think about it. You're a disoriented person hearing voices looking for a place to crash. You wander into the Olympic Sculpture Park in Seattle, and you see a giant claw, a 10-foot typewriter eraser, and a nude guy grabbing for a kid. You're out of there! Every public park should be run by a museum. Now this.
Reason number 22 to switch to Geico. We think renters are cool. Now, we don't know if you were born cool or if it's just all the cool stuff you have in your apartment. The point is, if you want to protect your considerable coolness, ask Geico about renter's insurance. For as little as $12 a month, you can protect all the stuff you hold near and dear, including that combination flat-screen TV espresso machine. Now that is cool.
For a fast, easy rate quote on renter's insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Valero at Mid-Carmel Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. We offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota, and our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Jim's Restaurant and Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Jim's Restaurant is celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Enjoy Jim's lunch specials for just $5.75 and dinner specials for only $6.50 per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated.
Can't be true.
Mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
I want to be the president of America like my daddy. He's a mean son of a bitch. He's the Big Mac baddie. So he got me an election that he took from Al Gore. Because the pussy don't know a damn thing about war. I am the king of the world. My kingdom's under construction. And I'm building it with weapons of mass destruction. The United States has divided nations. Got billions of dollars of bombs and we're not going to waste my pants in the Congress and I show them my ass. If they kiss it, it's a ticket to the top of the class. I go to war when I want to and I make the first try. Because I'm George Bush Jr., I can do what I like. I said I'm George Bush Jr., I can do what I like.
You can dance to this one.
I am the meanest damn mother ever got on a mic. I am a George Bush Jr., I can do what I like.
In case you didn't hear, over the weekend I was corrected. This song, Georgie Boy, by Andrew Horobin, originates from Australia and not New Zealand. They're pretty close down there, you know. Joining us now, senior editor at truthout.org, the author of the memoir News Junkie, it's Jason Leopold. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Peter. How are you? Good to be with you.
I'm doing fine today. And you?
Kind of busy.
Yeah?
Now,
how could you be busy? The House and Senate are mostly in recess, except for the security detail at the Senate to avoid recess appointments.
Right, exactly. And as you know, the former press secretary supposedly is dropping some sort of a bombshell.
That's right.
He's got some people perhaps excited.
Well, it is a selective leak to promote a book by Scott McClellan.
Yeah, exactly. His publisher definitely, chose a passage that would, pique the interest of a number of people who have been following the story regarding Valerie Plame.
But the excerpt I read is pretty powerful, where Scott McClellan seems offended that he went out there and did the dirty work in the fall of 2003, said, gosh, I've talked to Karl Rove, I've talked to Scooter Libby, and they didn't have anything to do with the revelations about Valerie Plame Wilson.
Right. Well, you know, one of the interesting things in that passage, and again, it's a passage that I'm not really comfortable about, going out on a limb, obviously, especially with this story at this point, but he does say that President Bush, Vice President Cheney, Karl Rove, Scooter Libby, and Andrew Card had, in a sense, pushed him to clear Karl Rove and Scooter Libby in October of 2003, and sort of alludes to the fact that they're just in this paragraph that they knew the information that they were asking him to disclose to the media to be false.
Yeah.
And the new tidbit in that, the real, if in fact the rest of the chapter or what he's saying lines up, the new revelation would be, President Bush.
Right.
And
Well, and at least a little bit more confirmation about Cheney. You and I believe Cheney was deeply involved in this from the handwritten notes on the clipping of Joe Wilson's op-ed to the way that Scooter Libby operated and reached out to press people right after Cheney told him this classified information about Valerie Wilson.
Right. In fact, I just want to, you know, bring up that I reported, I was actually the first one to report back in 2005 of Cheney's involvement in the selective leak of the National Intelligence Estimate, or at least telling Scooter Libby to leak it to Judith Miller, and just his involvement all around. But this particular passage, and again, it's really short. It's on the from Scott McClellan's book on his publisher's website. It basically, more or less, you know, seems to suggest not only, you know, that President Bush was involved, but that, you know, that they all knew that the information was false, but also, you know, just to remind people, President Bush was questioned about the leak. He wasn't under oath, but he was still asked about it by the prosecutor.
And I'll bet he couldn't remember a damn thing.
Right. Right. Who knows?
He coached Alberto Gonzalez on, I don't know, Senator. I was there, but I don't remember.
Exactly.
Sorry. Jason, I want to turn to the U.S. attorney issues. First, I want to mention just how prescient my producer, Katrina Rill, is, because when this story first surfaced in January of this year, of 2007, and I say a lot of nasty things about Dianne Feinstein, but to her credit, she was one of the first to raise this issue with Gonzalez about the firing of U.S. attorneys, because two of them in California had been popped. That's Lamb in San Diego and Ryan in San Francisco. So when the story broke, Katrina said, let's call Joe Russinello, because Joe was the last, I think the last Republican-appointed U.S. attorney here in the Bay Area. There may have been one between him and Kevin Ryan. I don't want to put money on that. At any rate, he's a fairly decent guy. And Russinello, despite being a Republican, is an honorable fellow who does believe in the law and the Constitution. And when Katrina called him for comment, he said, I can't. And this week, the new Attorney General, Michael Mukasey, appointed Joe Russinello as the acting U.S. attorney here in the San Francisco office.
Interesting.
So that was the that was the reason why he wouldn't comment at that time, and it appears that his appointment was on hold during this entire episode, and I don't know the politics of it, whether Gonzalez didn't like him, Gonzalez didn't want to admit the reasons they had fired this Kevin Ryan guy, and of course now Russinello inherits the Barry Bonds Balco case.
Right. It'll be a high-profile case for him.
Yeah, but it's got to be a real joy, too. He's going to piss off a lot of baseball fans. So one other item on U.S. attorneys before we get to your blockbuster story that was posted at Truth Out last Friday, and that is over in Minnesota, Rachel Paulos, the 34-year-old phenom who had alienated everybody in the U.S. attorney's office there in Minneapolis, has quietly resigned and been reassigned to Justice HQ in Washington.
Yeah, which is entirely outrageous. And just in advance, let me just, in case you hear little static. I'm on assignment, so I'm getting it from my cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's outrageous that the taxpayer still has to the bill for this woman. Still have to fund her salary, and you know, she is an individual who was very good friends with Monica Goodling, who lacked experience in prosecuting cases. And really, again, you know, use the litmus test when it came to hiring people, especially in that office in Minnesota. But it's important to remember that she is still under investigation by the Office of Special Counsel, which is that small shop in the White House. And as we know, it's the man who heads that office.
Scott Block,
right, exactly, mm-hmm. who is, you know, a Bush appointee and was part of the, his whole Bush's faith-based initiative. So there have been some doubts about whether or not, you know, he would actually put would actually conduct a thorough investigation. But I can tell you that yesterday, you know, I spoke to four of the former U.S. attorneys who were fired, and they absolutely believe that you know, Block is going to, you know, particularly in his investigation with Palos.
You broke up a little there. You said Block is what?
I apologize. Block is the former U.S. attorney, David Iglesias in particular, believes that Block will be thorough with the investigation into Rachel Palos.
Really?
And,
because, well, hold on there, because Iglesias, I mean, he should know. He's actually filed briefs with Block's office related to his firing to try to find out the extent to which it was motivated by his service in, what, the
right.
Air National Guard or Reserve?
Right. Yeah, and he said that Rachel Palos, it's funny that she was the topic of conversation last week, actually I think it's about 2 weeks ago, during a conference in Miami for the former U.S. attorney. National Association for Former U.S. Attorneys is what it's called, I believe. Mm-hmm. And she was, you know, was one of the topics that they discussed. One of the individuals, one former Justice Department official who was at this gathering, Mike Battle. Mike Battle was the person who worked inside the Justice Department that actually informed the U.S. attorneys that they were being fired. You know, I discussed that in my story. Just, you know, on a side note, you know, he had supposedly, allegedly indicated that there's going to be a thorough investigation going on with regard to, or is going on with regard to, Ms. Palos. And, you know, it could be that they're, you know, keeping her close, but it obviously it doesn't seem that way if they're calling her back to the Justice Department.
Right. Now, in Washington, they haven't been just circling the wagons. They've been circling the limos because there's now an Alberto Gonzalez defense fund that
right.
Well-heeled Republicans are contributing to, and we're not allowed to see who the donors are.
News, commentary, and your phone calls.
He has concerns.
If it's happening in America, it'll be right here
general.
On 540
and that sets the stage
AM
for your
radio,
story here.
KRXA.
And first of all, let's acknowledge that John McKay is not a guy who otherwise would have been critical of Republicans, critical of the Bush administration. But once he was fired, he went into investigative mode. And tell us what McKay, again, who was a Republican appointee as U.S. attorney in Seattle and was sacked in this wave of firings, what has he had to say about the role of Alberto Gonzalez?
Well, he participates in specifically with Gonzalez that when the inspector general, first of all, let me just preface this by saying John McKay used the public record and in a way that would sort of piece together this very large puzzle and did it with, you know, as an attorney, as a prosecutor, and use the public record.
You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
He could have obstructed justice. Mm-hmm. He believes strongly that he did obstruct justice, that he didn't say that he's guilty of obstruction of justice. But just in the ways that these U.S. attorneys were fired, the timing of the firing, what Gonzalez knew about the specific cases that they were prosecuting with Carol Lamb, it's the Duke Cunningham case, the corruption case there.
Right, the bribery.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and he's bribery, and he's saying that what John McKay is saying is that Gonzalez, in firing Lamb or allowing her to be fired when she was prosecuting such a high profile case, could very well constitute obstruction of justice.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly because there was a phone call that was made by Gonzalez's chief of staff, former chief of staff, Kyle Sampson, a day after Lamb announced that she was going after Cunningham's co-conspirators.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jason, we need to take our break now, so we'll do that and come back and talk more about these remarkable comments and the analysis of John McKay, former U.S. attorney in Seattle, appointed by Republicans, fired by lackeys of Alberto Gonzalez. And you have accessed an upcoming article that he's written for the Seattle University Law Review, where many of these issues are detailed. We'll continue in just a moment with Jason Leopold from truthout.org. You can read his article up there at truthout.org. It's entitled Fired Attorneys Build Case Against Gonzalez. More in a moment. Your calls are welcome at 888-5-PETER-B. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, this is Larry from Acme Coffee, and if, like me, you own a business and are tired of waiting through aggressive sales reps pushing you to advertise on mediocre network TV stations or stale radio broadcasters, contact KRXA 540 sales manager Larry Rathall at 394-5792. AM 540's committed listener base will help you grow your business. I know, because they're helping me grow mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
Joseph's Upholstery of Monterey will satisfy all of your upholstery needs, whether for your home or business. Joe Vitale finishes headboards, chairs, sofas, and pillows. Joe imports the finest selected fabrics from Italy, Germany, France, and other European countries to add a distinctive touch to your home or office. Joseph's Upholstery is conveniently located at 222 Ramona Avenue in Monterey. They're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and on Saturday, 9 to 1. Call Joe at 831-372-3224. Remember, at Joseph's Upholstery, there's one low price for all. And free delivery and pickup is available throughout Monterey and Santa Cruz counties. Call Joe Vitale now at Joseph's Upholstery, 372-3224.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffeehouse in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
And let's take a look at traffic. I'll tell you about the very latest, starting off with a problem being reported right now. It is in Opal Cliffs, Portola Drive, southbound at 26, big bag of garbage still in the lanes. Big rig blocking the roadway in Scotts Valley, Glenwood Cutoff at Highway 17. This big rig, again, blocking the roadway. Traffic is backed up in the area as a result of this, so just be advised about this problem. Also want to mention Santa Cruz southbound 17 after Pasatiempo entrance, large piece of sheet metal in the left lane. Carmel, Bayview Avenue at Martin Way, two-vehicle fender bender being reported. And Campbell northbound 17 for Hamilton, a large bag is actually floating across the lanes.
Alberto Gonzalez may have obstructed justice. Ain't that a bitch, huh? Thank you, Johnny.
Listen.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show with investigative reporter Jason Leopold from truthout.org. He's been on top of this story about the firing of U.S. attorneys. And it's fascinating to see, as I point out, and I hope this isn't annoying you because it's repetitious, but John McKay was a Republican, appointed by the Bush administration to be U.S. attorney in Seattle. And then when they fired him, he went seeking the truth. And these are not cheap political shots. This is not just the kind of skirmishes that you see in Washington where those cheap shots are often taken. This is a very thorough look at the law, and as Jason told us, based on the public record. And it is stunning to see this work moving forward, and that Alberto Gonzalez is out there raising money from rich fat cats to pay for his legal defense. So this could be a story that keeps on giving for several years, Jason.
Yeah, and I also want to point out that in John McKay's upcoming Law Review article, it's a lengthy article, it's 34 pages. What is interesting to me is one of the questions that I had asked the U.S. attorneys when I was interviewing some of them was whether or not they, being former prosecutors, federal prosecutors, did they undertake their own investigation? It was a little early at the time, and they all said they hadn't, but McKay started to really dig deep into this sort of late in the game. But he was telling me that he worked night and day to use the public record, to gather information in the public record, and then basically just looking at the discrepancies in the perhaps lies in Gonzalez's testimony, and apply that to federal law. And in his article, he shows the various statutes, federal statutes, and how it amounts to obstruction of justice. He does also go on to say that he does not have any information based on the investigation that the Inspector General of the Justice Department, Glenn Fine, is currently conducting. But he does say that this is what the Inspector General must look at, and this is, I can guarantee you, this is what the Inspector General is looking at. And
right.
So what he does is he really does, do an amazing job of, taking everything, all of the emails that have been released, all of Gonzalez's statements, the timing of the firing, how it coincided with, an escalation of certain prosecutions involving public corruption, and shows that this is not just an attorney general who was didn't know better. This was somebody who was knowingly obstructing justice, and that's a felony.
And Jason, in your article, which is based largely on John McKay's Law Review article, there's a great deal of information here about the Carol Lam case that we talked about. That's San Diego. She had notified Justice that she was ready for more, going after Kyle Dusty Fogo, and he was a CIA official, and others for corrupt connections to Duke Cunningham. The other key set of cases are based on the David Iglesias firing in New Mexico. He, of course, was subject to backbiting from Senator Domenici and Congresswoman Wilson, who made their political desires clear to the White House. But when you tie Iglesias together with Bud Cummins in Little Rock, you see at least the outlines of these firings being related to a more complex Republican strategy to try to drum up cases of voter fraud in order, in my view, to blow a smokescreen and prevent people from seeing the truth about election fraud. So voter fraud is when a voter illegally votes. That can be a case-by-case situation. Election fraud is when it's rigged or manipulated, or the computers are hacked or other ways are used to change the outcome of the election. And my belief, and this is we're in full speculation mode at this moment, but my belief is that if we get the truth about David Iglesias and Bud Cummins, that we're going to find out a whole lot more about what the true strategies of the White House and the Justice Department were in politicizing the role of U.S. attorneys.
Absolutely. Let me just also make just a few comments before we end. First of all, you mentioned earlier that Gonzalez has set up a legal defense fund. Let me just let your listeners know that Gonzalez is currently on a speaking tour. He's getting upwards of $35,000 to $50,000 per speaking gig. So, for example, he was I'm not sure where he was yesterday, but he received a $35,000 payment for that. This is a guy who clearly is making some cash. If he does 10 of these, he can earn about $350,000 at minimum. So the legal defense fund certainly is questionable at this point, whether he wants to dip into, his own pocket to defend himself. But on top of that, it really does suggest, at the very least, that, this is something that could, in fact, get bigger, or at least that there was an indication that, he may need his attorney for quite a while. The second thing is that at the former U.S. Attorney's Conference in Miami a couple of weeks ago, where Bud Cummins and David Iglesias and John McKay were, this was a conference attended largely by Republican-appointed former U.S. attorneys. They passed a resolution there. You had said that John McKay was a Republican. These Republicans, who are still Republicans that were at this conference, David Iglesias told me, they were outraged. They passed a resolution that they have sent to Michael Mukasey to ensure that something like this, or at least to express their own outrage about it, to hopefully ensure that this doesn't happen again. They feel that the Justice Department is absolutely in, disarray. Just the installation of Michael Mukasey does not fix that. And they said that it's only when the truth comes out, as you just indicated, that that things will be, restored to where they were before.
Jason, have a great Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you next week.
You too, Peter. Thanks very much.
Read all about it at truthout.org.
The superfood for you and your family. Hemp has nutritional values that far exceed any known plant. Hemp, used for food, clothing, and shelter since time began. Hemp, this God-given food source is controlled by your government, making it not legal to grow for American people and farmers, but legal to import. Our founding fathers grew hemp because they knew of the benefits it offered. The protein powder, seeds, and oil are available through hempusa.org. Recommended daily intake of this food source will allow the body to heal itself from many ailments. Loaded with potassium, magnesium, calcium, essential fatty acids, amino acids, and nutrients not available in other plants. Hemp can be stored with a long shelf life as a life-sustaining food source for you and your family. Could this be the government's best-kept secret? Call today at 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Learn. Help. Shop at hempusa.org. We do not charge for shipping. That's 908-691-2608 or go to HempUS.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Heart cells that started out as facial skin.
One scientist says it's a bit like learning how to turn lead into gold. The Supreme Court has agreed to rule on the District of Columbia's handgun ban.
Now it's time to confirm, finally, that people in our country have an individual right to defend themselves and their families and their own homes using simple, ordinary firearms.
Attorney Alan Gurra represents Washington residents challenging the ban, which was imposed in an effort to reduce gun violence. The high court will hear arguments in March, and CBS News chief legal analyst Andrew Cohen says this case will be closely watched.
It's been nearly 70 years since the court touched the Second Amendment, and there really has never been a definitive ruling from the justices ever about whether and to what extent the Constitution limits the right of an individual to possess a gun. So no matter how the justices rule, this will be one of the most important cases of the term, maybe even of the decade.
These high gasoline prices are likely to go even higher. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick reports.
Think you're already paying too much to fill up?
With what happened today, we may now see another 5 or 10 cents added to the price of gasoline at the pump sometime in the next 2 weeks or so.
Peter Buchel of Cameron Hanover. What happened was another spike in crude oil prices, finishing at a record $98 a barrel. That's due to a weaker dollar and expectations the Fed will lower interest rates again. Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
A Fed forecast for 2008 says economic growth is likely to slow and unemployment is likely to rise. A judge in St. George, Utah, has sentenced polygamist leader Warren Jeffs to two consecutive terms of 5 years to life. Jeffs was convicted as an accomplice to rape for arranging the marriage of teenage cousins. The girl was only 14. If you want to get fit, get a pedometer. Dr. Dina Bravada and her colleagues at Stanford University found that the device seems to help keep people on track.
Think you're already paying too much to fill?
In the study, they found that the people wearing pedometers lost weight and lowered their blood pressure. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrial's 51 points higher, closing at 13,010, and the Nasdaq gained 3 points to finish the day at 2596. This is CBS News.
Hey, Kimmy, it's Dad. It's about 1 now. I'm at the restaurant, and I've been waiting about half an hour, so where are you? Listen, Kim, I've got a meeting, so I've got to go. Just call me, okay? Kimberly, where are you, hon? Look, I'm starting to get worried. I'm going to give Mom a call. Yeah, can I get the check?
Please drive safer this Sunday. Buckle up, stay alert, slow down. For more life-saving tips, visit RoadSafeAmerica.org. A message from RoadSafe and GMAC Insurance.
Hey, it's Ty Pennington. You know, I love to grant wishes. The bigger, the better. And the biggest thing I know of this holiday is Sears Wishing Hours. This Monday and Tuesday from 4 p.m. to close, the Panasonic Lumix 7.2 megapixel digital camera is on sale for just $99.99. And go online to Sears.com/wishes for next week's exclusive offers just for you. Sears Wishing Hours, Mondays and Tuesdays. Don't just give a gift, grant a wish.
Exclusions apply. See store for details. Prices may vary in Puerto Rico, Alaska, and Hawaii. Offer valid 11/19/07 through 11/20/07.
For two turkeys, it really will be a happy Thanksgiving. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller explains.
It wouldn't be Thanksgiving at the White House if the president didn't bestow a pardon on the national Thanksgiving turkey and runner-up. Mr. Bush announced that visitors to the White House website voted to name the turkeys May and Flower.
They're certainly better than the names the vice president suggested, which was lunch and dinner.
The two turkeys now get flown first class to Disney World to serve as honorary marshals of the Thanksgiving parade and live out their lives with Mickey Mouse. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
It'll be a green Christmas at Rockefeller Center in New York this year. The famous tree, an 84-foot Norway spruce, will be lit with energy-saving, light-emitting diodes. 30,000 multicolored LEDs strung on 5 miles of wire will use about one-third the electricity of old-fashioned incandescent bulbs. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Ace Hardware wants to make a dent in your shopping list at our After Thanksgiving sale, starting Friday at 7 a.m. with doorbuster deals like a 7-inch digital photo frame for $49.99, a 5-piece card table and chair set for only $39.99, and a classic 34-inch radio flyer wagon for just $29.99. Plus, get double points for your Ace Rewards card. It's the After Thanksgiving sale, Friday through Sunday at Ace, the holiday helpful place. Price is good at participating Ace Hardware stores while supplies last. See store for details.
Hey, it's Ty Pennington. This holiday, I'm all about granting wishes. But get this. Right now, Sears has a way for you to give to others and get a wish for yourself. Because right now, they're giving you a $10 reward card with any clothing and shoe purchase of $50 or more, including Land's End, when you use your Sears card. Giving has never been so rewarding. So come into Sears today for your reward card, and don't just give a gift. Grant a wish.
Exclusions and restrictions apply. Reward card received at the point of purchase by mail. See store at Sears.com for details. Offer ends 12/07.
live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage.
Oh, no.
Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. It's heading into the free speech zone. We take your phone calls on any subject. You can offer any viewpoint. Call me from anywhere within the sound of my voice. The toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-573-8372. And you can always email peter at peterbcollins.com. Every week we get an update on ethics in Washington. It doesn't take long. From Melanie Sloan at CRU, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Hello, Melanie.
It takes a while to brief you on all the unethical conduct.
Yeah, but when we just talk about ethics, it's a short conversation.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So you and I have talked at some length over the years about the internal processes of the House and the Senate, how the Ethics Committee has been neutered. We saw it unmothballed briefly last year to kick Mark Foley out, the guy with the emails from male teenage pages. But it's pretty much back in mothballs right now. To my knowledge, Ted Stevens has not had a date with the Senate Ethics Committee. David Vitter, the guy who has hookers in New Orleans and Washington, hasn't had a date with the Senate Ethics Committee. And you've issued a statement highly critical of the Democrats in the House because they've been in charge for this calendar year. They won an election just a year ago in November, and they promised to get the broom out and clean things up. How do you rate their efforts so far, Melanie?
Yeah, I'm giving them about a D. It's pretty disappointing. One of the things they said when they were going to come in and clean up what they kept calling the culture of corruption was they were going to fix the Ethics Committee. Well, the House Ethics Committee is exactly the same as it's always been. This is a committee that's split evenly, Democrats and Republicans, and they haven't taken on a single corrupt member of Congress this year. There was a move earlier this year. They created a House Ethics Task Force that was going to meet and work out a new ethics process because everybody was more or less admitting that the House ethics process was broken. And now that's been headed up by a guy named Mike Capuano from Massachusetts. And they were supposed to come back in May. Well, here it is November, and now the rumor is they're actually coming back, and they're coming back with a terrible idea. They're creating an Office of Congressional Ethics. And in one sense, that's good because we had thought an independent office to oversee ethics would be a good idea since members clearly can't do it themselves. But the problem with this new office is, one, still outsiders, groups like mine, can't file ethics complaints. And two, they have no subpoena power. All they can do is decide whether they should refer something to the House Ethics Committee. Well, the House Ethics Committee all on its own can decide whether to take things up anyway. So this, to me, just adds a needless layer of bureaucracy onto a process that doesn't work to guarantee it further won't work. It's yet another layer to protect members of Congress from actually being held accountable.
So I think
it's a pretty bad thing, the fact that they won't take outsiders' ethics complaints. I don't think I've ever shared with you that up until 1997, the House Ethics Committee, outsiders could file. It was a very cumbersome process, but there was a way. And you know who stopped that? It is none other than John Murtha.
Oh, the captain of the earmark team.
That's right, the captain of the earmark team. In 1997, they amended the congressional ethics process. There was another ethics task force, and they came back with recommendations, and then Murtha offered an amendment to bar outsiders from filing ethics complaints, and that passed. So thanks to him, and he's somebody who continues to have ethics problems, and he was protecting probably his own butt more than anyone else's. There are no ethics complaints by outside groups, and that looks like they're going to keep it that way.
Well, and Speaker Pelosi served on the Ethics Committee in the 1990s, so she would be very familiar with these rules. And if she desired to, reopen it to outside parties, she could have done so, would you say?
Oh, yeah, she absolutely could have insisted upon it. I have to say, she's been pretty disingenuous on this topic. A couple of years ago, she said it wasn't really a problem that outsiders couldn't file ethics complaints because all they had to do was take their complaints, that were written in good faith and hand them over to a member of Congress who would be sure to forward them to the Ethics Committee.
Oh, that's kind of like, yeah, officer, I was taking this 2-pound bag of pot down to the police station to turn it in because I found it over there under the stairs.
And we can see how well that's worked out.
Yeah.
Because our group, Crew, has written many an ethics complaint, and no one's forwarded any of those to the Ethics Committee.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously that's not working.
Now, there was a bill earlier this year, as I recall. Trent Lott was bitterly opposed to it because he was going to have lunch at McDonald's and that lobbyists couldn't treat him to lunch anymore. There also, I believe, was a short-term ban on these travel junkets paid for by third parties and lobbyists. Isn't that travel ban about to expire? Wasn't it just a one-year window dressing?
No, they finally did pass an actual travel ban. But just let me tell you that the number of exceptions to the travel ban might outdo the travel ban. For example, if you travel on the dime of a 501c3 organization, a charitable organization, that's just fine. Jack Abramoff, by the way, had much of his travel done on the dime of a 501c3 organization, too. So you can also travel freely if it's paid for by a university. So there's lots of ways you can get around the travel ban. There is a ban on people accepting meals in any way now, not just the ones that are over $50. And, you know, that's probably a good thing. But the truth is most of the problems that we saw during the Jack Abramoff era, those things were already against the rules. The problem was we didn't have any enforcement of the rules. And you know what? We still don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
So all these tougher rules don't really make a difference if you're not going to enforce them.
So with the completion of the task force of Michael Capuano, are we going to see some press releases with mission accomplished across the top?
You know, as soon as the groups, a bunch of reform groups, including us and Democracy 21 and Public Citizen and League of Women Voters, started hearing about it, there was a lot of criticism of what Capuano was doing, and suddenly Capuano said, oh, we're not really done yet. We're still working on it. So I think that they're very afraid of releasing what they're actually going to do because they don't want to take the criticism. And so I think they're going to probably just not really finally come back.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe they'll release it on the Friday between Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah, that would be about when bad news is usually released.
Melanie Sloan with us from Crew, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Their website is Citizens for Ethics, F-O-R, citizensforethics.org. And up next, I'd like an update on Jerry Lewis and Ken Calvert. They're both being investigated.
Okay, this is a little better news, and this is typically, it's better news when we start talking about what the FBI is doing, since we can't really talk about what the House Ethics Committee is doing, since that's always nothing. But the FBI this summer started examining the personal financial records of both Jerry Lewis and Ken Calvert. Now, as I've understood it, the investigation into Jerry Lewis is finally heating up. There were the Los Angeles U.S. Attorney's Office, where this investigation is being conducted, had a lot of turnover and a lot of issues, but now people are finally really on top of it, and they are looking into Jerry Lewis's relationship with former lobbyist, I guess he's still a lobbyist, Bill Lowry, former Congressman Bill Lowry,
mm-hmm.
And that's finally underway, and there have been a series of subpoenas issued, and the House actually has been fighting some of those subpoenas, saying that it's a speech or debate clause matter, but that's happening. Also, Kent Calvert, currently under investigation. People probably know a little less about Ken Calvert, but Mr. Calvert is under investigation for a real estate deal.
Right.
He and a partner had paid $550,000 for a 4-acre piece of land, and then less than a year
it's
after buying land,
law.
Any
here's Howie Long on Westwood One.
Is baseball revisiting a costly mistake?
Right,
I'll tell you why I asked right after this.
Another good thing about Geico is they've got like real live people working there 24/7. So like say you need to report a claim, right? A real person will be there to help you. Then you can use Geico.com to view photos of the damage, track your claim, print an estimate. You want an English muffin? They literally hand you a toasted muffin with butter and jam.
A deal in the works about that, where he was citing a freeway.
That's a complete dramatization, of course, but
I mean, this is
you get my point.
Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
But that doesn't make it right.
Don't miss the Office Depot pre-Thanksgiving sale. Hurry in for our lowest prices ever on select computers and HD TVs. Plus, Office Depot has all the hottest gifts, including digital cameras, MP3 players, GPS systems, printers, and more. The perfect gift for everyone on your list is at Office Depot. Shop now through Wednesday and avoid the after Thanksgiving crowd. Office Depot, taking care of business and your holiday shopping. Quantities limited, no rain checks.
He's the guy who had $90,000 worth of
baseball's recent general managers meetings, Red Sox boss Theo Epstein and Marlins chief Larry Feinfest asked their 28 counterparts how they plan to address their offseason needs, what those needs were, and what players they might be willing to trade. I think someone was sleeping during history class. Major League Baseball clubs cannot act in concert with one another. This is called collusion. And when the clubs did this in the late 1980s, they were fined $280 million. Can simply talking in a meeting be considered collusion? Well, the MLB Players Association intends to find out. But to risk opening itself up to the charge seems foolish. Of course, when it comes to labor intelligence, baseball has never been too bright. That's Dirt Long, and I'm Howie Long on Westwood One.
Pay his family business and relative in exchange for his help. So we're seeing such a long pattern. I don't understand, frankly, why Mr. Jefferson isn't pleading guilty, and I still expect him to, because otherwise prosecutors are no doubt thinking about charging his family members. He has five daughters. Several of them seem to be involved in this scheme. Mm-hmm. And if he pleads guilty, very frequently they will agree not to prosecute family members.
Yeah, well, he's got really good family values. We'll say that much for him. Greg in Sacramento wants to talk with you. Greg, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, and say hello to Melanie Sloan.
Well, I was hoping to catch you by your solo.
Oh, okay. Well, then you hold on. We'll get you after the break. I wasn't clear, and I thought maybe you wanted to raise an issue with Melanie. So, Melanie, thank you very much. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving.
Peter, I just want to give you one little piece of news before I go,
okay,
which is that there is news today that John Doolittle, one of your all-time favorite members of Congress,
yes,
may soon be announcing that he is not going to run again, and
oh,
he may be endorsing a state senator named Rico Oler of Calaveras County. And that's an unconfirmed rumor right now, but that's what was going around the blogosphere, and I thought I'd share it with you because I knew you'd see it as good news.
You made my day. How did you know?
Good Thanksgiving.
Yeah, thanks, Melanie. And go to the website, citizensforethics.org, and read more about what's going on in Washington. We'll take a break. Greg's going to lead us off in the free speech zone coming up absolutely next. You can follow him toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. It's 888-573-8372. We'll talk with you in the free speech zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate-quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Pacific Grove's Joe Rombi has turned his attention to pizza. Central Coast residents and visitors can now enjoy the finest pizza this side of Italy. Whether you crave the elegant simplicity of a pizza margherita or one of Joe Rombi's signature creations, like the Totally Chipotle, Crazy for Mushrooms, or famous Malrose, you'll fall in love with pizza all over again at Joe Rombi's La Piccolo Casa Pizzeria, next door to Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina on 17th Street in Pacific Grove. And with the holiday season approaching, if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina, with accommodations for groups of any size from 10 to 60. So for great dinners or private parties, it's Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina, next door to Joe Rombi's La Piccolo Casa Pizzeria. Click on joerombi.com or call 831-373-2416. Or for pizza, call 373-0129.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmo Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid Carmo Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmo Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid Carmo Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
All right, everybody, let's take a look at traffic. And to get you caught up to date, got a problem working right now. It is in Carmel, Bayview Avenue at Martin Way, two-vehicle fender bender being reported. And then Tular Follett Road at Alta Street, a vehicle into a utility pole. CHP is on scene. Santa Cruz southbound 17 after Pasatiempo, a large piece of sheet metal is still in the left lane. Looking at a problem in Scotts Valley, Glenwood cutoff at 17, it's a big rig blocking the roadway. Apparently, traffic backed up in the area pretty significantly. Looking at Castroville, southbound 1 before Molera Road, a vehicle went off the roadway and landed in a ditch. CHP is on scene. And looks like southbound 1 between Monterey and Carmel, pockets of slow-and-go traffic. And this report is brought to you by 1-800-Flowers.com.
Dance, but I talk just as good as I walk. We're in the free speech zone here at the Peter B. Collins Show. I've got lines available, and I welcome your phone calls with comments on issues that you think other people care about. You be the judge. 888-5 Peter B. 888-573-8372. Warning, Eureka, PBC, and Roy Zimmerman on the way. We're going to be broadcasting live from Eureka on Friday, November 30th, and my pal Roy Zimmerman will be with us. He'll be riding shotgun during the show, playing a few tunes. Then he's going to go up on the big stage of the Eureka Theater and perform for us in the evening. I want you to be there. About the outskirts of Frisco.
One night in the disco, on the outskirts of Frisco.
All right, that's enough of that Sister Sledge stuff. 888-5 Peter B, if you'd like to join us. And in the next half hour, we're going to hear from Michael J. and Dr. Joe Olson. They are Democratic Party activists on the progressive side, and they helped the effort to pass a resolution at the state Democratic committee meeting over the weekend to censure Dianne Feinstein for her recent Republican votes on the Mukasey Attorney General nomination and a court appointment as well. So we're going to talk with him about that effort. We'll get the report on sometime in the next half hour. In the meantime, call me, 888-5-PETER-B. Greg in Sacramento, you got me solo, just the way you asked for it.
Yes, I really wouldn't have known what to ask Melanie, even if you paid me.
Oh, okay, well, next time we'll pay and see what happens.
Okay. I caught a conversation from you, I believe it was yesterday or maybe the day before, that you were talking about giving to politics and to Al Franken's campaign.
Oh, yeah, I read a fundraiser.
It's third and long. Here's Howie Long on Westwood One.
Is baseball revisiting a costly mistake? I'll tell you why I ask right after this.
Another good thing about GEICO is they've got, like, real live people working there 24-7. So, like, say you need to report a claim, right? A real person will be there to help you. Then you can use Geico.com to view photos of the damage, track your claim, print an estimate. You want an English muffin? They literally hand you a toasted muffin with butter and jam. Oh, tasty. That's a complete dramatization, of course, but you get my point.
Putting
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Don't miss the Office Depot pre-Thanksgiving sale. Hurry in for our lowest prices ever on select computers and HD TVs. Plus, Office Depot has all the hottest gifts, including digital cameras, MP3 players, GPS systems, printers, and more. The perfect gift for everyone on your list is at Office Depot. Shop now through Wednesday.
She is an absolute trooper as to what she, you know, supporting Bill through the campaign, but
well, Greg, would you do me this favor? Could you drop me an email with contact information for the doctor? Because I'll invite him on the show lickety-split. I have the unfortunate history of knowing Dan Lundgren. When he was the state attorney general, he used to appear on my radio show quite frequently. And I certainly respect his intellect. He just is trapped in some really awful medieval thinking.
Well, you ought to go to one of his town hall meetings, and, you know, I mean, he really just treats people like dirt.
Oh, yeah, he's an arrogant SOB. What's interesting is, and if you get to go to one of these town hall meetings, ask him about immigration reform in the 1980s, because he was the amnesty guy in the immigration bill that passed and was signed by Ronald Reagan. And it, in essence, is the last bit of, fine-tuning, to the extent you can call that, of our immigration laws and policies. It is the Lundgren immigration debacle that is the cause of so much angst and all of this hate-filled campaigning going on today. And what's amazing is he skates on it. He's, you know, he talks like a Tancredo guy about, we're not going to have amnesty. But he was the author of the bill that brokered amnesty as part of the package. I believe it was 85 or 86. Uh-huh. And then, of course, he left the U.S. Congress to become Attorney General of California for two terms. And then when OC bailed out, he took that seat. And he's hoping that we all have a deep, deep case of amnesia about that. But I think somebody ought to remind him of his own history on immigration the next time he tries to sound like a Tancredo trooper.
All right. Well, I'll send you Durston. It's very simple. Durston for Congress. .com or .org.
D-U-R-S-T-E-N?
S-T-O-N.
O-N. Okay. For Congress.
Third Congressional District.
We will check it out. And did you hear the news from Melanie about Doolittle?
Oh, yes. That's beautiful.
I can't wait for tearful speech. John and Julie, they're just going to retire to Rockland and count all that money she made in the fundraising scam. Thank you very much, Greg.
All right.
We take a quick break and return for more of your phone calls. Free Speed Zone available to you right now, 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. Yeah.
You're listening to KRXA
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
We were looking for an inclusive community, so we joined a Unitarian Universalist church where we can really live our values.
Did you know the American Red Cross, the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, and the SPCA were all founded by Unitarians or Universalists?
Imagine a denomination that walks its talk. When Martin Luther King Jr. appealed to clergy to join protesters at Selma, Alabama, more than one-third of the Unitarian Universalist parish ministers answered his call.
And Unitarian Universalists are still fighting for justice today. We're speaking up everywhere for marriage equality, for reproductive rights, for the environment, and for our civil liberties.
A denomination with progressive values makes a difference in today's world. Unitarian Universalists. Come visit our church on the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website, uucmp.org, or call 624-7404.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
How many times have you bumped up against the belief that in fact harms you, hurts you, and really acts like a disease? How often is belief a barrier to well-being and happiness? Healing Beyond Limits Radio, heard Sundays from 9 to 10 a.m., cuts through the busyness of life and gets to the heart of what you can do to throw away limitations and live the life you want. Join the unlikely oncologist, Dr. Debbie Lindquist, and world-renowned life coach, journalist, Glenn Brooks, and discover how you can dissolve ideas and actions that hold you back. Heard on the Vibrant Living Radio Network, right here on KRXA 540 a.m.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from the dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Your calls and comments welcome in the free speech zone, subject to monitoring by the NSA.
Hello, NSA. I just called you to say I love you.
I love you
because you,
because you really listen.
Really listen.
That's my man Roy Zimmerman. He's cruising up to Eureka with me on Friday, November 30th. We'll be broadcasting live from the Eureka Theater, our regular showtime, 3 to 6 p.m. And then after a little break, Roy's going to take to the stage there and entertain us with songs from this CD called Faulty Intelligence.
And you really listen.
So I hope you'll show up there and visit with us in Eureka. Looking forward to reconnecting with a lot of folks there. Up next in the Free Speech Zone, we talk to Ron in Sacramento. Welcome, Ron.
Right. About your previous topic from a couple, maybe an hour or whatever, back further in your show, Peter, you know, the state of Christianity in America today, probably be a little bit unfair to say that many of the evangelical churches are essentially holding pens for hell, but what strikes anybody that observes it...
Now, hold on. I just have to challenge that metaphor, Ron, okay? It is amusing. But if you consider a church to be a holding pen for hell, then do you believe in hell? I'm calling the metaphor cops.
Any chances on it either? You know? But considering the Iraq bloodbath going on for 5 years, the silence, the dead, you know, from the pastors and ministers of American Christian churches is just astounding. With, you know, we got, what, maybe a million or so dead Iraqi civilians, not to mention the American blood that Bush and Cheney and their supporters, including Hannity and Medved and the rest of them, have on their hands. But, mm-hmm. You know, you could sum up evangelical Christianity by looking at the nutcase John Hagee, a minister from San Antonio. He has a book out. You might have seen it, Jerusalem Countdown. It's just packed with lies. On the cover of it, it shows a mushroom cloud, and it says that Iran's nuclear arsenal stands ready. He had to change that cover, too. That was 2 years ago. And,
praise the Lord and pass the propaganda.
Yeah, but this guy is essentially a foreign agent, and John Hagee, a foreign agent and a bag man for the synagogue of Satan, so-called. He's a fundraiser, and he no longer exalts Jesus Christ, but his whole thing is he's pushing for the third temple, which would mean somehow raising the Arabs' mosque on the Temple Mount, a third temple, and get this animal sacrifice again, which, as far as I can see, that's kind of blasphemous, and it kind of negates mm-hmm. Christ's sacrifice 2,000 years ago. So,
well, just wait till PETA gets a hold of that.
I mean, okay.
All right, Ron. Hey, Ron.
Crude.
Ron, thank you for your call today. I appreciate it. You made a good point, but I need to move on. And thank you for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I greatly appreciate that. 888-5, Peter B. will return to your calls here in just a moment. But first, I want to get an update on the events at the State Democratic Party meeting in Anaheim over this past weekend. And Michael Jay joins us now. He's a delegate to the Democratic Party Central Committee from the 42nd Assembly District, and he's a member of the Progressive Democrats of America in cahoots with people like Marcy Winograd there in Southern California. Michael, welcome to our program.
Hey, thank you so much.
And thank you for tracking me down today and emailing and phoning, because I definitely wanted to hear more about this. And also with us is Dr. Joe Olson, co-chair of the caucus, the Democratic caucus. Dr. Olson?
Hi, thanks a lot for having us.
Yeah, my pleasure. So let me turn to you first, Michael. I fully support a resolution to censure Dianne Feinstein. It's really all we've got. She's in a safe Senate seat that doesn't expire till 2012. She's voting like a Lieberman Republican. It's unforgivable that she was one of the two pivotal votes on Mukasey, and she personally greased the skids for this lifetime court appointment for an extreme right-winger named Leslie Southwick. And I believe that it's important for Democrats to let her know when she separates herself from the party. Tell me your thoughts about why you think this is important.
Well, it is important because I'm personally someone that I was lucky enough to lobby the senator in a two-on-one session, or I should say that there was another great activist from down here, Joy Swan, and myself, along with the senator and her senior staff. And, in fact, that session only came about because we sort of had to bludgeon the senator in her office with the fact that we'd gone to D.C. with literally 1,000 people back in September 2 years ago to lobby, and she ducked out of her office right before these sessions were supposed to start. There were over 100 activists. There were Iraq vets, in fact, including one in a wheelchair. Phil Donahue was there. So we see that she ducks out on things like that, and then we spoke to her in earnest for an hour. She was very polite, if not gracious, but it just doesn't seem to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And as Maxine Waters said in a couple phone calls as well as her Out of Iraq forum, she said the only thing that really works is street heat, and in effect, this isn't street heat, this is party heat. But we know, and I think Joe will also speak to this, we know how much the party is actually unified behind issues such as getting out of Iraq, stopping unlimited warfare, et cetera, and even impeachment mm-hmm. to a large degree. But the leadership seems to be out of this loop of unification. They both either don't realize it or they're sort of obstructing our wishes.
Well, and Dianne Feinstein's staff spins her as an independent who's willing to work across party lines. But I'm sorry, sacrificing our constitutional rights by caving on the FISA law. And she's been working overtime trying to sweet-talk the White House into letting her craft legislation to legalize their intentional lawbreaking. That's not good Democratic policy. It's not good American policy. And it undermines our Constitution. And I, for one, cannot stand it when she takes those steps. Dr. Joe Olson, yeah. You weigh in here. What are your issues with Feinstein?
Well, my primary issue and the issue that we brought the censure resolution forward for was the issue of the Mukasey, the thumbs up for Mukasey and sort of ratifying torture with that move. There's some things that are clearly, they're just a clear break from party lines and they're unacceptable. Senator Feinstein has a long history of doing other things that are unacceptable to progressive Democrats, and this was the one that crossed the line, at least for me, that's unacceptable. In my mind, we can't be giving a thumbs up to torture. What have we been talking about for the last 5 years? We've been talking about the unacceptable actions of this administration.
Yeah.
To have one of our own weigh in on their side in one of the most liberal states in the country is not something that we should just say, okay, go ahead, do whatever you want, as long as we get a Democrat in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons we started the Progressive Caucus was because the Democratic Party was failing in giving a home to people with liberal and progressive ideology. It was failing us.
Indeed.
And we've had hundreds, we have over 1,000 members. We're the second largest caucus in the party now, and we had an almost unanimous vote on this censure resolution on Saturday night.
So tell me how this transpired. Michael Jay, you're co-author of the censure resolution. You submitted it to the resolution committee. And I understand at a certain point there was an altercation over a poster or sign that you wanted to put up in the committee room. And the chair first said it wasn't allowed. Then they said there wasn't room for it. And then somebody grabbed it. And tell me what occurred there.
That's true. You know, I want to speak to that. But let me back up and answer the first part of your question. The fact is, many people were looking for ideas about what to do to bring pressure or message to Senator Feinstein. In fact, last week, the Courage campaign put out an email, asking mm-hmm. people, have you had enough, and looking for ideas about what they could do.
Yeah, I only found out about it on Friday, but we mentioned it on the air, and many of our listeners signed up on Friday.
Right, and they and 34,500 others. And I was proud to be asked to run with this effort and bring in PDA. And I believe the Courage campaign brought on Move On, which itself has 500,000 members in California alone.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to say that the fact is many people were thinking of what they could do. And one person who really lit this fire was Mal Bernstein, who is the other co-chair, along with Joe Olson, of the Progressive Caucus. And I do want to note, I'm sorry to mention, I believe you misspoke, but not the Democratic Caucus, but the Progressive Caucus of
Thank
the
you.
State Democratic Party.
Feel free to correct me. I'm not...
I want our listeners to make sure to get accurate information.
Mm-hmm.
And we're proud to be progressives. I look forward to the day that we don't need to be called progressives, that we're recognized as what the mainstream Democrats should be. So Mal wrote a resolution, brought it to his East Bay for Democracy Dem Club up there in the Bay Area. They passed it. And the fact is, if I understand correctly, he wrote this in answer to the Mukasey vote. And so it was inspired by that, but unfortunately just too late to get in under the wire of the party's rules for this convention. It can be submitted, but it was technically a late resolution, which just means that the committee did not have to hear it per se unless they all unanimously agreed to do so, which was pretty much like getting a camel through the eye of a needle.
Mm-hmm.
The altercation, I think your listeners have probably heard all that they need to hear about it. It's just what it was.
Okay.
I think it just was a little hot-headedness. I actually did not produce or place that poster.
Mm-hmm.
There were other people there from other organizations who did that, and I think they were focused on that, and the timing was poor because it was the start of the meeting. And so that just got under the skin of one member there, but he apologized.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a small thing compared to the larger issues here.
Mm-hmm.
We're more concerned about the fact that I would have loved to see some courage by the committee in saying, you know, we can take 2 minutes to let the co-author of this speak to this rather than having to hide our head in the sand where we're brave enough to, you know, it's not going to hurt us. An open discussion won't hurt us. Let's hear,
mm-hmm.
throw your worst at us. Maybe we need to be informed about the senator and about the party. But they chose not to do that.
So, Dr. Olson, do I have this correct, that what occurred was that the Resolutions Committee either tabled it or rejected it, but the Progressive Caucus did adopt this censure resolution against Feinstein?
That's correct. So the caucus itself as a body passed a resolution of censure against Dianne Feinstein and also voted to endorse the resolution that was coming in front of the endorsement committee for the entire party.
Okay.
And I should also add, you might have heard this, but there were two other caucuses of the Democratic Party here in California that also voted to endorse the censure resolution, and that was the Irish American Caucus and the Women's Caucus.
Okay. And so the bottom line is, do you feel satisfied with the effort? You got some attention, and you were able to pass it in the Progressive Caucus, but you wanted it to at least get out of resolutions and go to the full body. Is that it?
That's correct. I would have been very pleased to have at least heard a debate on it on the floor, and we were denied that. And certainly within the party structure and the rules of the party, what was done was within party rules. Unfortunately, it points to a bigger problem, which is this idea that we seem to have adopted as Democrats that good debate isn't healthy. And actually, we all know that good debate is part of the democratic process and often leads to excellent ideas and healthy decision-making.
Right.
We don't want to adopt a similar policy to the Republicans, which is everybody's in lockstep with the leadership. That's not what democracy is about. And the more disconcerting thing, because obviously the issue of censure has gotten a lot of airtime, and having the senator understand that thousands and thousands of people in California are really upset and very concerned about what happened with these votes is what we wanted her to know.
Well, I
on
think
the
you...
other hand, the larger picture, which is we need to have healthy debate here in California, and that's the democratic process, and we don't want the party leadership stifling the voices of the party.
Well, I would agree with you on both those points and just add that the senator needs to know that we're paying attention. And that we do care, and we do respond when she votes the wrong way. Michael Jay, just a final comment here. What would you leave us with?
The fact that I don't want people to think we're just doing this because this is the only thing we have time for, just negative actions like this. It's very unfortunate to us that we feel the need to take these actions. I want listeners to know also that I spoke with the senator's chief of staff last week to make sure he was aware of this, that we're not doing this in a void. And letting him know, well, I begged him to tell her not to vote for telecom immunity, and mentioning that the next time around it could be 300,000 people on a signature rather than 30.
Yeah. But
the bottom line is, we're doing this to save our party. I feel that the spinelessness on the part of the party to stand up to Bush about Iraq and on civil liberties, and the votes by people like Senator Feinstein, are why the ratings for Congress are half the approval of Bush. They're at 11%.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, more Republicans favor Congress than Democrats. That should speak volumes. So I think our leadership needs to get a clue that the policy of looking strong by looking weak doesn't work. We need to be strong and look strong.
Michael Jay, Dr. Joe Olson, thank you for your activism. You speak for me.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for having us on.
Okay, my pleasure. And drop me an email next time you're getting active about something. It's peter@peterbcollins.com. I'll be delighted to hear from you.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you both. More of your calls coming up next in the Free Speech Zone. We take a quick break and return here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we
You're
build
listening
every
to
year.
KRXA
and the fact that we can offer estate-quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
When is eating organic not good enough? Healthy food pioneer Glenn Brooks and farm expert John Wood take you steps beyond organic when you tune into Food is Medicine right here on KRXA 540. Organic feed in your beef and poultry are every bit as dangerous and damaging as traditional animal feeds. Find out why it's so important for the animals you eat to have a nutritious diet. Restaurant guide, recipes, and taste challenge included. Join us Saturdays at 10 a.m. right here on KRXA 540.
Well, it is time for final traffic report of the night. That means that we're going to tell you a little information right now. And we are going to start off with a problem in Scotts Valley. Glenwood cutoff at 17. Big Rig still blocking the roadway. Traffic is also backed up in the area. It's been there for a little while now. Campbell, Hamilton Avenue, eastbound at Highway 17. That would be northbound 17. An accident, two cars in the center divide. Salinas, River Road, and Parker. A big rig and a pickup truck reportedly blocking lanes there. And Santa Cruz, northbound Highway 1, the M-Line off-ramp still closed till the summer of 2008. And this report is brought to you by the fine folks at 1-800-Flowers.com. In honor of Thanksgiving, 1-800-Flowers.com is offering free shipping and handling from our special radio collection. Just visit 1-800-Flowers.com and click the radio icon for details.
Continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. There's still room for your call here at 888-5-PETER-B. And we had a couple of callers on the line who didn't hold through our discussion of Dianne Feinstein's censure resolution. So, Sherman and Richard, if you're still out there, give us a call. We'll give you a high priority, put you right through here. And I want to thank Greg and the others from Sacramento who mentioned Dr. Bill Durston. It is true. His website is durstonforcongress.org, D-U-R-S-T-O-N. And I'll be getting in touch with him to invite him on the program because, as I said, when I talked with him back in 2006, I found him very interesting, very progressive. And if we could take a seat away from a guy like Dan Lundgren, that could make a big difference. We really need to focus on that. And I know that I've offended people by offering my opinion that I don't believe that Cindy Sheehan challenging Nancy Pelosi is going to make any difference. But Bill Durston challenging Dan Lundgren at a time like this, and Charlie Brown taking on John Doolittle or whoever subs for him, if it's Rico Aller. These are important races that could change the landscape and give Pelosi more Democratic votes, and that could make a big difference. We go to Chris and Salinas now. Hey, Chris, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Peter?
Not too bad.
Hey, I just wanted to, you know, I thought that that gentleman, Mr. J or whatever his name was.
Michael J.
Took it a little too lightly with that altercation in that. You know, this gentleman's a co-chair, Mr. Hanna, is a co-chair of the Resolutions Committee for the Democratic Party in California. And to do what he did, by the accounts that I've read, I wasn't there personally, is outrageous and should not be tolerated. I mean, there's intimidation's been going along in the Democratic Party for quite some time now. And we need to weed these people out because that was intimidation, looking, to make sure that people won't come forward like this. And I just want to say that this gentleman should step down or he should be removed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I share your view, and I think that I really give credit to people like Michael Jay and Dr. Olson, who are busy people who put up with the arcane rules and the mind-numbing meetings of the state Democratic Party, and who actually go there to fight for things that they think are important and to try to change the rudder that is guiding the Democratic Party further and further to the right. And I think this is some of the most important work, and frankly, I don't focus on it that much, and I appreciate those who do. And I think that we need to recognize that, you know, voting for certain candidates and getting them elected is one thing, but they all end up being captive to the party structure. And let me just tell you, one of my concerns right now is Jerry McNerney. This is the guy who we supported and helped him. You know, I worked for Pete McCloskey in the primary, and that helped soften up Richard Pombo. McNerney beat him in the fall. And because McNerney won in an ordinarily red district, it appears that he has tilted far to the right. Now, I'm not claiming he's as bad as a Dan Lundgren any day of the week, but I believe that he is turning into a straddler. And Jerry McNerney's people have refused our interview requests since August, when he came back from Iraq and was quoted in various news accounts as saying that he had changed his mind and that he didn't think that, well, first of all, he was persuaded that the surge is working, more or less, and secondly, he was rethinking his position about when and how we should extricate ourselves from Iraq. And I'm disappointed by that because I believe that McNerney won because he spoke to the truth and he spoke to progressive values. But I think he's now become imbued with Washington think, which is, oh, in a red district to win, you've got to morph into a chameleon-like Republican.
Yeah, I share your concern with McNerney because I helped a little bit support him, and my mom helped a lot to support him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his decisions, I think he's being told what to do by Steny Hoyer and Nancy Pelosi. But one other thing, too, about that resolution's co-chair, Mr. Hanna,
yeah,
he also led the charge of objections to that censure resolution.
Well, anybody who ends up, you know, in a party power position is most likely, you know, they feel aligned with the elected leaders like Boxer and Feinstein and Art Torres, the state party chair. And in the back rooms, they say, oh, this is inconvenient. Let's let those progressives squawk a little bit and then we'll kill it.
Yeah. Well, thanks for what you're doing, Peter, and keep up the good work.
Huh? I'll do what I can, Chris. Have a great Thanksgiving, will you?
You too.
All right. Good to hear from you today. I appreciate your activism. Well, that does it for the Peter B. Collins Show. Trigger is here. We're going to ride off. Oh, the sun already set. We're going to ride off anyway. We'll be back at you tomorrow live on the radio. Thursday and Friday, you'll hear pre-recorded programs. We call it the best of Peter B. Collins, but we'll let you be the judge.
Until we meet again.
This program is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Brian Urban, our assistant producer on duty today. Visit our website at peterbcollins.com.
Until then.
Hemp, the superfood for you and your family. Hemp has nutritional values that far exceed any known plant. Hemp, used for food, clothing, and shelter since time began. Hemp, this God-given food source is controlled by your government, making it not legal to grow for American people and farmers, but legal to import. Our founding fathers grew hemp because they knew of the benefits it offered. The protein powder, seeds, and oil are available through hempusa.org. Recommended daily intake of this food source will allow the body to heal itself from many ailments. Loaded with potassium, magnesium, calcium, essential fatty acids, amino acids, and nutrients not available in other plants. Hemp can be stored with a long shelf life as a life-sustaining food source for you and your family. Could this be the government's best-kept secret? Call today at 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Learn. Help. Shop at hempusa.org. We do not charge for shipping. That's 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
What a major breakthrough in stem cell research. They're creating cells that act like embryonic stem cells without having to clone human embryos.
I'm Barry Bagnato in Washington. If these new cells formed from human skin proved to be as effective as embryonic stem cells, it would be a landmark achievement. But there are many medical hurdles to cross before treatments can be developed. University of Wisconsin researcher Dr. James Thompson.
And all the challenges of using embryonic stem cells are pretty much intact for these cells.
And these cells may carry their own risks. Penn bioethicist Arthur Kaplan says embryonic stem cell research shouldn't be abandoned.
Even though it still causes severe ethical objections.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
With crude oil back at $98 a barrel, energy analyst Peter Butel has this advice for drivers planning a Thanksgiving road trip.
If there's any way people can fill up tonight or today, I think that would probably be a better idea than waiting to see what the price might be, because it is going to go higher. It's just a matter of when.
He says today's jump in oil prices will translate into another 5 or 10 cents a gallon at the pump. Crude settled $3.67 higher at $98.31. The Supreme Court will rule next year on the right to keep and bear arms and what that means for ordinary citizens. CBS News correspondent Wyatt Andrews reports the court has taken up a gun case from Washington, D.C.
Perhaps unbelievably, the Supreme Court has never upheld an individual right to own a gun in America. That may be about to change.
There are drug dealers in the neighborhood.
The court has agreed to hear the case of Dick Heller, who's challenging the 31-year-old ban on owning handguns in the District of Columbia. Heller, a security guard, packs a handgun during the day, but can't have one in his own home.
We, the people, all right, have the right to defend ourselves with whatever firearm is most practical.
That simple argument has led to the most important gun case ever.
Arguments are scheduled for March, with a ruling expected by June. Warren Jeffs, the polygamous leader convicted as an accomplice to rape, learned his fate today.
He couldn't spend enough time in jail for me.
A woman at the courthouse in St. George, Utah, where Jeffs was sentenced.
The offense of